you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Freaky dickies need love too. Freaky dickies need love too.
Sometimes when a man and a woman are attracted to each other, they want to be close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the man puts his hoo-hoo dilly in the woman's cha-cha.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Don't have sex, because you will get pregnant and die. Don't have sex in the missionary position. Don't have sex standing up. Just don't do it, promise?
She's touching my special area!
At your age, you're going to be having a lot of urges. You're going to want to take off your clothes and touch each other. But if you do touch each other, you will get chlamydia and die.
I'm worried about the beaver.
I'm not comfortable with this dialogue. Freaky dickies need love, too. Freaky dickies need love, too.
And now,
aloha, and welcome to
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Wednesday, the 1st of Blovember.
Okay. Fantastic.
For those of you with dirty minds, that is Cindy Crawford, and she's just sucking on a candy cane.
Yeah.
That's all that's going on there.
Don't be reading too much into it.
How do you think she feels about that now?
I think she's
married,
fine.
Married, two kids.
Probably she's more proud of that than anything in her life. Yeah,
she seems like the type of person who is comfortable with the decisions that she makes. She doesn't seem like she's got too many hang-ups, Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, that was the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we got another new one coming out this year. So we'll talk
I
about
hear
that.
It's she's not bad.
A little later.
She's very nearly the perfect woman, by the way, that Cindy Crawford. Except for the kids. I mean, she really is. She's the total package.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't hear much about her anymore since she obviously has, scaled back her work because she's raising a family. But you still see her on the TV from time to time and you still go, damn, she looks just like Cindy Crawford.
Because
she
is.
So why wouldn't she? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my point.
Why wouldn't she?
Remember when she came in and made fun of my hair? That was good.
Yeah, within like the first 30 seconds, right?
I got a haircut the day before and I don't really care all that much, so
right.
I just whatever they just did whatever, and it ended up looking pretty bad. And she came walking down the hallway, and I walked out of the studio, and she said, "Wow, what's with the hair?" That was the first words out of her mouth.
And you have to remember that Cindy Crawford was Kevin's like all time number one. Like he was so excited to meet her. Like you know how guys are in the back of his mind. He's thinking, I know it's crazy, but maybe I got a chance. Maybe dude, something. Who knows what's going to happen today?
1% chance. It's going to happen to someone. Why not me?
Exactly. You always hear these stories about the actress who picks up the waiter in the restaurant, and they end up getting married and having kids, right? So Kevin's thinking, all right, this is my big chance with Cindy Crawford. Let's see first impression. Let's see how it goes. And then she makes fun of his hair like right out of the gate.
Wow, what's with the hair?
Although you could argue that she was flirting with you because that's how girls are, you know?
Well, no, I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, Kevin, that was it.
She was coming on to me.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the point of the whole conversation.
Yes.
It's funny because our read was that
we have to explain that?
Our read was that you were already out of the running right there in the first 2 seconds.
Oh, God, no. I banged her in the bathroom.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, Cindy Crawford, we get the opportunity here every morning at this time for the month of Blovember. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting, as a matter of fact. And we're also, you have like 4 days left to Christmas shop, just so you know. This is that time of year.
Oh, yeah. I got Psycho Mike's gifts yesterday. I'm doing well on my list. Getting it done a little bit early this year.
What, do you go over across the border to get some roids? What?
No, I just found a little something that I thought he'd enjoy.
Going to send down like 5 syringes.
And they would be appreciated.
Anabolic steroids.
Save by the bell box set.
I hate that last minute rush. I can't be Kevin's people. I can't be Christmas Eve. Give me whatever you got. I can't be that guy.
But it's exciting.
Yeah, it is. I understand that.
What percentage of your Christmas shopping would you say you have done?
Oh, not much. Probably 15% maybe.
Wow, 15%.
That's
pretty good.
I mean, for the rest of us who haven't even begun to think about it and don't till Thanksgiving, that's way ahead.
Bean doesn't strike me as the type of dude that has a lot of people to shop for.
Well, that's true.
He probably has like 10 people to buy gifts for.
That's true. That's a good point.
I don't know. It seems like a lot, but it's not like I went out shopping I came across something that I thought, hey, this is great.
Right.
Why wait and come back in 4 weeks? You know what I mean? If you know Christmas is coming, you might as well just go ahead and pick it up. That's all it was. It's not like I went out Christmas shopping. It just happened to fall into my
lap. See, but you're the kind of person who misses the adrenaline rush at the end, that feeling of, oh, my God, I've got to get something today, and I can't go home till I do. That's fun.
I hope to be the guy who lives to be 110 because his heart rate never got up above like 80, but then realizes at the end of his life he didn't really do anything.
Right, exactly. Wow, I wish I would have lived.
That's going to be me.
All that TV I watched. Wow.
Hey, speaking of excitement, by the way, Psycho Mike was there. What about the Lakers coming back from 20 points down last night to win the game?
I went to a Halloween party, and I was listening to the game on the way to it, and it was just suns, Lakers.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, no. And they said Kobe was going to play, and he didn't, and I guess Kwame Brown didn't play, and they came back and won. And
isn't that amazing?
Hey, King of Mexico, would you mind stepping in, please?
Oh, is it that time of year again?
Yes, it is.
All right.
And he was telling me, hey, step right up to the mic there.
Meanwhile, by the way, the world champion Miami Heat apparently got pasted by the by Chicago last night, too.
40 points Chicago beat them by.
40 points?
Yeah, is that 42. Hilarious?
Yeah. Wow.
They got their rings. They got their world championship rings, and then they just got pasted by freaking Chicago. It's hilarious.
So the Lakers beat the Suns last night.
That's correct.
How's that working out for you?
That means I'm 5 down in the hole right now.
Yes, it does.
And that means that the Clippers better win tonight, or else I owe you $10.
We have a 2-game parlay, I think.
Is that what it is?
Sun parlay.
We had a $5 bet last night on the Lakers Suns, and then tonight Lakers Clippers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so for each game that your team plays, that's the bet.
Well, no, not
what, just these 2 games, because Kevin was afraid.
Oh, just these 2.
I told Kevin, hey, let's bet Clippers Suns tonight. I mean Lakers Suns. And he's all like, well, you know, the Suns are going to win and blah, blah, blah. I was like,
the Suns
all
are
right.
Supposed to, a lot of people are saying they're going to be in the
they'll
know,
win
finals.
The West. Yeah.
But, so they're good. But
so Kevin's all like, let's just bet on. I go, look, I'll throw in the Clipper game as well.
Don't start talking to me like I'm all sad guy.
You were the one that said, look, Suns are going to win, and I like the Suns.
No,
but I don't
want to
bet
say
that.
Why don't you get the hell out of our studio if you're going to lie?
No, I'm not
I
lying.
Said
Did
the
you
Suns
not say you like the Suns?
I said the Suns are my second favorite team, but when playing the Lakers, I want the Lakers to win.
So you wouldn't bet me. I had to throw in the Clipper game. I was like, look, well, the Clippers play them tomorrow. How about we make it 2 games?
$5 each.
All right, whatever.
And then you
Boy,
said.
It's going to be a long season, isn't it?
Oh, God.
I hate this stuff.
This is just games 1 and 2, by the way.
I know. Are we gonna have to hear about Dave with the freaking LA Clippers every day for another season?
Yes,
I
mean, you are, buddy.
I'm afraid so, unfortunately.
Clippers!
And they haven't even won a game yet. Come on, Dave.
This morning, really, you should be doing the Laker chant. I mean, you should be saying Lakers because they didn't even have Kobe.
Or Kwame.
And wow, Kwame doesn't count. You're not going to hear this from me a lot this season, but I'll give props to the Lakers today because
wow,
they really came back and played good.
That was
Lamar
great.
Odom kicked ass. And
the Lakers are going to be so unbelievably grateful that you gave them props today.
They should, because I don't give props very often to the Lakers.
See, the only thing that will get them through the night, man.
Five credits from Dave. Fantastic.
Go back to sleep, Dave.
Oh, thanks. I'm tired.
It's funny. Dave has the imprint of the K-Rock telephones on his forehead from all the times he's dozed off answering the phones.
That's how he gets his rest. He doesn't sleep at night, so he just comes in and rests here. But, yeah, it's the beginning of a good long get out. Stop pointing your Clipper shirt. They've done nothing this season. Nothing. Haven't even played. Have they played? They haven't even played, right? Regular season.
I want Lisa to start getting into betting, so I want her to like bet that the opening of Oklahoma will outdo the opening of like Les Mis or something.
Now, see, that I could do.
Oh, that's.
I'm all over that.
I'm so happy that the basketball season is back and hockey is back. Ugh, my prayers have been answered. No more just baseball.
Yeah, it's
baseball.
A long stretch.
Long stretch. Long. I know there are more people love baseball probably than any other sport, but I got to tell you. That's a long stretch when it's the only thing going.
Yeah.
That hurts. All right, so let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show. It is Wednesday morning.
Speaking of the Lakers, I think we're talking to our old friend Matt Money Smith about the Lakers season. Of course, you know he's part of the Lakers broadcast team, so he'll be able to tell us what we can look forward to, what we can expect this year. We got him coming up this morning.
Yes, we do. We have Bob Toe on this morning's show.
Excellent.
Oh, great.
And not just because we enjoy his presence, which we do. But he went on a date. He called us up, and we were talking to him about what kind of woman he wants. And he always tells us the same thing. He's looking for a Korean woman, 5'7", 5'8".
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, we got an email from Asian woman. I'm not sure if she's Korean or not. But she emailed us and said, I will date Bobto. So we hooked him up and we said, tell us when you guys are going to go out, because we were going to have Psycho Mike show up, maybe sit in the next booth or maybe even sit with them, whatever, mm-hmm. just to kind of get an update on what's going on with the date. And he's already gone on it.
He totally
ignored our instructions.
Well,
even though we set it up.
That's not hard to believe that he ignored our instructions, because he is.
But what I'm sad about is, since we didn't see it, that we're not even going to know why she probably has a restraining order against him already, because we're not going to have been there to see it.
Well, no, but the beautiful part about this is that we're going to talk to Bob Toe and his date.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes. Good.
She's still talking
right
to
from,
us?
Right from Christy.
Hey, listen,
shocking.
Listen, we didn't go out and say, hey, let's find a K-Rock fan that we can force on Doto.
I know.
She offered.
I still think she would somehow blame it on us.
Well, in all honesty, she didn't offer. Her friend offered her up.
Yes.
But anyway, she wanted to go of her own free will, and she did, and we'll talk to her. And we'll talk to Bob and find out if there's going to be a... Never mind. I was going to say a second date, but let's be honest. Also on today's show, we have more Diddy audio. Diddy does MySpace messages, and he just tells you how he's feeling.
Good to know.
Feeling happy today, y'all. Feeling happy. You know how you feel happy? That's how he says. Yeah, you know how sometimes you always feel happy? I feel happy. I'm happy. I feel happy.
That's insightful.
Yes. So Diddy on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to talk to people who have had their sexy photos/videos fall into the wrong hands.
Oh, God.
Which is always good. I believe it was Marsha Cross, the story yesterday.
Exactly.
That's right.
Threw out 200 pictures of her. Some of them completely nude, showering outside.
Mm-hmm.
And a company that was supposed to empty the trash found the pictures. They got a lawyer. They're selling them. And it's good times for all.
Do you mind if I photograph you in the nude?
It happens all the time.
Yeah. People do not understand our advice, which is don't, especially videotape, but even take pictures of yourself having sex, because it feels way better than you look.
That's generally true.
You don't look as good as it feels, ever.
Now, Marsha looks really good.
Sure.
But
she's Marsha, you know.
Right.
I mean, we're not, so.
Right.
By the way, we found out the Lightning made a porn, too. So I'll tell you about that a little bit later.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. It's about
of
the tail end of
people,
that.
People, yes. If there was anyone on the staff that I would say, really don't,
yeah, no
it
kidding.
Would be Lightning.
No kidding.
Doc.
Well,
oh, yeah, Doc.
That's who we made it with. So anyway, we're going to take your calls this morning on that. We also, we're also going to talk about why Tyra Banks is now just the most hateable person on the planet. She is evil incarnate. And Bean, who has stood up for her all of these years, is finally starting to show a little crack in the
yes.
love.
Well,
because
I still
she's
love
so
her,
annoying.
And I still think she's redeemable, but she has done some things lately that have been hard for me to defend.
She's way past redeemable, by the way.
I don't know. I mean, I still think she's a bright woman. I still think she's a good-looking woman. But she does get a little bit carried away with the theatrics of her talk show.
A little?
A little.
Oh,
a little,
Lord.
Yeah. So anyway, we have some more audio that we're going to try and convince Bean of the truth coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. Why Psycho Mike Hates the Poor, that's coming up. And John Leguizamo, who has written a book and is starring in a new movie, we have him on this morning's
Great.
Kevin and Bean Show as well. Plus tickets for the Black Masquerade every half hour today.
Actually,
every 10 minutes
when
you hear us ask you to call and
Kevin,
email.
That was last night. That was a Halloween show with My Chemical Romance. So that's done. We're not doing that anymore.
You don't have to do that today?
No.
Fantastic. Showbiz Beat, is that still around?
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Okay. It is 5:50, and it's time for Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the showbiz news, let me give away some tickets to see the red carpet world premiere of Tenacious D in...
The Pick of Destiny.
Boy, give him one line.
I know.
He thinks it's a one-man show.
I have to wrench all of the emotion out of it that I can.
David Caruso.
Yeah, exactly. Put on some sunglasses. Horatio. Horatio. Is that one of those TV names that nobody has? Nobody has in real life except
That's
for
true.
David Caruso's character on CSI Miami.
Yeah, I'm Horatio Kane.
No, you're not. No, nobody's Horatio Kane. Anyway, I've got a 4-pack of passes to the red carpet world premiere of Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny. It's
Pick
Thursday,
Destiny.
November 9th at Grauman's Chinese Theater in beautiful downtown Hollywood. You and three friends get to go. Right now, if you're caller number 12... Caller number 12, 1-800-520-1067, gets you and three friends in to see the brand new Tenacious D movie. I'll be there on the red carpet, saying hi to the celebrities as they pass on by. Saying, Carrot Top, everybody, Carrot Top.
The people love him.
The people love him.
Put your hands together. Hey, Ralph, your pal Borat on the show tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, we're talking to Borat tomorrow.
Wow. He's the man.
We love him.
He's the effing man. He was on Letterman this week. Boy, is he funny.
Yes, he is.
My wife is dead. High five. Everyone hates Heather Mills McCartney.
Yes.
And a great moment happened yesterday at the Britain's Q Awards. This is sort of their one of their award ceremonies they have in England, sort of like an Emmy type right. ceremony. And the host was Jonathan Ross, who's a popular comedian TV show host there in England. And he started off the event in front of a packed house full of celebrities and regular folks by making fun of Heather Mills McCartney.
Awesome.
He came out on stage and said, "Heather Mills McCartney, what an effing liar." I wouldn't be surprised if we found out she's actually got two legs.
Wow. They have taken the gloves off.
The whole country hates her.
That is a heinous lie.
Rod's taking the shoe off.
Rod Stewart has come out and said that Paul McCartney should not settle their bitter breakup out of court. He says he should stay in there and fight her because she's such a liar.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah. I think he should fight her, Rod said about Paul. I think his name's been slurred. I don't think that's what Rod meant to say, but I appreciate the sentiment.
He's my people.
Yeah, exactly. He might be a drug taker, but I don't think he's a wife beater.
Notice
about Paul McCartney? Yeah.
A drug taker?
Well, he is. You know.
Smokes the pot.
He likes drugs. He's a Beatle, for corn's sake.
Yep.
Speaking of beating your wife, National Enquirer Supermarket Tabloid has a story on Grey's Anatomy star Patrick Dempsey. They're rehashing the rumors that he physically abused his first wife. Tabloid got a hold of some court papers from their 1991 divorce in which she claimed that he broke her finger in a car door and another time beat her up because, and I quote, he wanted to see what it was like to beat up a woman. Well, haven't we all had that curiosity from time to time?
That's a strange thing to claim.
His first wife now says that her lawyer at the time told her to make up the statements to get a better settlement.
Just to say the lie.
Yep. And she says they're now not true. It was 20 years ago, by the way, when these events happened. With his first wife when he was 21, and she was, wait for it, 47.
Oh, my God.
Yay! Wow.
He was married to a 47-year-old woman. He was 21.
So she's saying that it's not true that he beat her up just to see what it feels like to beat up a woman?
Not true.
Huh. Because that was so believable.
Could have been a better reason than that if he had actually beat her up, don't you think?
I would think, yeah.
Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock say they're not going to have any kids, at least not for now.
That's good news.
That is good news.
I thought they were trying.
That was the rumor, but they talked to People Magazine at the release party for the DVDs of season 1 and 2 of Baywatch.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, we already have 3 kids, so not yet. She didn't rule out the possibility of having more later, but she said, for now, they're good.
That's good.
Sure. They need some time to spend as young newlyweds.
Just
no now. Way. Uh-oh, sausage.
And celebrities who want kids, the rumor is that Nicole Kidman is currently planning to jump on the latest Hollywood bandwagon and adopt a poor orphan from overseas. Apparently, she got the idea to adopt again during a recent trip to Kosovo as part of a ambassador's role for UNICEF. And she said she's going to buy. She's going to adopt a kid from Kosovo. No, that's the new plan.
They have tons of orphans there.
Got tons of orphans here in America too, Nicole.
Yeah, but there are people lined up
for newborns here, Ralph. Lined up. You got to wait for years.
Then adopt a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old.
I know. I agree with you, but
then why do you give me so much crap for? What are you coming at me with the hell eyes?
Because you're talking about newborns.
They're lined up.
They are.
Well, then adopt someone they're not lined up for. America first, God damn it!
It does really seem odd that it's like the trend now. You know what I mean?
It's
like it's just everybody else has done it, so they feel like they need to do it. Whatever.
Well, she's already adopted 2 babies. It's not unusual for her to adopt.
Where did she adopt them from?
From here.
Oh, it's possible.
No, people are in line.
Are you saying it's possible to adopt here?
What I'm saying is there aren't newborns desperately waiting for parents in America.
All right. Well, then let's adopt some 14-year-olds. Whatever we have on the shelves, let's move them out the door, people. Stock them deep and sell them cheap. That's my motto.
I am trying to adopt an 18-year-old Asian chick. So far,
it's very difficult.
The government has stood in the way. You think Nicole is looking around her big empty house since her husband's in rehab and thinking, I need somebody else here.
Maybe that's a good idea, too, to bring and adopt a child into a nice, stable home environment. Oh, wait a minute. Your husband's in rehab. Why don't you get your ducks in a duck place first?
I think they're in a row.
Ducks in a row. That's what they are. They're in a row. That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's so terrific.
And tragic news. Price is Right host Bob Barker announced he's hanging up the microphone after 50 years on television.
How's he going to meet chicks?
How is he going to meet chicks, indeed? Backstage was where he got all his tail. Apparently, Barker announced that he is leaving The Price is Right next June. And he wanted to retire while he's still young, said the 83-year-old.
Doesn't he look and sound fantastic for 83?
It is remarkable. He's 83, and yeah, he still is able to pull that job off.
I guess I don't watch. I haven't watched that show, I don't know, forever.
You you see him on the TV from time to time, and you go, wow, that guy has really, he still seems so sharp at 83. We could all be so lucky.
Yeah. He's done the show for 35 years.
Wow.
Same gig every day for 35 years.
Yeah, but it's a game show, Ralph. You know how it is. He works a few weeks a month, a few weeks a year is all he works on that.
I know.
Don't you think?
But still. After 30 years, I'd be hard-pressed to get back in front of the giant wheel. I'd be like, oh, Jesus.
We're going to another gamer for Plinko. Jumping up and down.
Come on. Gun with the guy riding, climbing the mountain with the prices. Oy vey.
I just hope he's not one of those retirees who drops dead within like a month of giving up the job.
Because he's got so much to live for.
No, well, you know how it is. With
he's a father figure to you.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with that.
Like climb Mount Everest like he's been planning?
It happens all the time where people work, then they finally retire, and then they die within a very, very short time because they don't have the reason to get out of bed every
so you want him to die on The Price is Right.
Like
you
Mr.
want him
Barker
to die
very
before
much.
He retires. That's what you would like to happen.
Only during sweeps. This morning,
you would like him
to
keel over with that little pencil-thin microphone in his hand and just go down.
In his ass. That's what I'm suggesting.
He's saying, come on down. It's over.
I thought about a bitch.
I wish him the very best.
Right. And let's take a look at the top 10 TV shows for last week, shall we? You might be surprised at some of the things that end up in the top 10.
Brothers and Sisters.
Like there's a show. CSI. The good one.
Back on top, all right? Thursday nights?
Number 10.
Oh, 10.
Surprised,
yeah.
Okay. Criminal Minds was number 9. People are watching this Criminal Minds.
What is Criminal Minds?
I like that Criminal Minds.
Mandy Patinkin.
Oh, I like him.
I like that one.
Yeah. Never heard of it.
Never it's heard got of Sally Minds. Field and Ron Rifkin in it.
Does it come on after Brothers and Sisters?
Got Balthazar Getty.
And Melissa Flockhart.
Lost was number 8 last week. Only number 8. CSI New York was number 7. All three CSIs, by the way, in the top 10.
That's unbelievable.
Sweet. CSI New York was number 7. Sunday Night Football on NBC was number 6. CSI Miami was number 5. Dancing with the Stars results show, number 4.
Yeah.
CBS NFL postgame show was number 3. Dancing with the Stars, the dancing episode, number 2.
Wow.
Number 1 show on television?
Number 1!
Desperate Housewives, back on number 1 again.
Really?
How about that? Good for that.
I guess Grey's Anatomy was a rerun last week, I guess.
Yeah. Or it had Sandra Oh on it.
Yeah. Well, it always has.
Because that's happened sometimes.
It was a rerun.
People won't watch because of that. They'll watch with one eye.
Especially you.
Try to catch it when she's on one side of the screen so I can watch everyone else on the other side.
She's a real good actress, by the way, Ralph.
Is she?
I know you hate Sandra Oh. She's a very good actress. You saw her in Sideways. She's really good.
I heard that the Medusa was a great conversationalist, too, but if you looked into her face, you would turn to stone. So a lot of people never found
wow.
that out.
That's rare Medusa said. Reference.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Greek mythology.
Sure.
Today's
well, you got all your ducks in a duck thing.
In a duck place. Today's celebrity birthdays, Larry Flint, our pal and publisher of Hustler and man responsible for Jailbait. And
sure.
Busty Beauties and the Hustler Casino. Hustler's Honeys.
Rolling around his solid gold wheelchair.
He does good work, that Larry. He is 64 years old today. Anthony Kiedis from a band called the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
This came up one time before. Did we ever? Were we ever able to locate a song? By
I don't. I think you guys are. It's like Brothers and Sisters. There's no band.
There's no
Red Hot Chili Peppers. We never found that.
No.
Because we looked all day last time when Chad Smith's birthday was.
Maybe we should celebrate this Anthony Kiedis guy's birthday by trying to find some of that stuff.
Well, we'll try
it on. He's 44 years old today. Rick Allen, drummer for Def Leppard, is 43 years old today. Apparently, he's dating Heather Mills McCartney now. Make a match set.
Those of you that don't know, that's a guy who was the drummer for that band, got in an accident, lost an arm, and continued drumming.
Right.
That rules.
Toni Collette, very talented actress. You remember her from The Sixth Sense and from Muriel's Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very many movies. She's 34 years old today, as is Jenny McCarthy. Actress?
Mm.
But the reason we celebrate today is Mags Furholman.
Mags Furholman.
Here we go.
Furholman.
Who's that?
Here we go.
No, he's not from the Cardigans.
Oh, okay.
Almost as good. He's the singer keyboardist for A-ha.
Oh.
And I don't think we talk enough about A-ha's legacy in music, so I'd like to talk about A-ha.
Do they have a legacy?
Dude, take on me.
Yeah?
Take me on. I'll be there.
man!
Come on.
Is that your touching tribute?
It is my touching tribute to AHA. Mags is 44 years old today. And his name's Mags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mags. Mags. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And it is the day after Halloween. It's Wednesday morning, of course. If you weren't with us first thing this morning, it is, in fact, the 1st of November. It truly is one of our favorite months of the whole wide year.
Sure.
And by the way, how many kids came to your house last night?
Mine?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably 50.
I rang up another 0 year. I was so excited.
Well, of course.
See, Bean does the international signal for don't come to my house, which is turn off all the lights and lay spread eagle on the floor.
And I take up the drawbridge from the moat, too. So even if the kids do try to come near the house in the dark, they go right into the water. So in the drink. It's awesome.
Psycho Mike, for some reason, just hates. He hates. Psycho Mike is
Let's get one thing straight. I don't hate. In fact, I enjoy. I love handing out candy to little kids on Halloween. It's one of my favorite things of all time. I love it. What I don't love is you shipping in your children into my neighborhood from far off lands to come take our candy.
From far off lands?
Our candy?
Yeah. They come from Somalia? What are you talking about?
All over the goddamn place. About 2 years ago, it was getting worse and worse progressively. And about 2 years ago, I was at on Halloween. I'm standing in front of my parents' house with the big jug of candy, doing what I do, handing out candy because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
A panel van pulls up, opens up, kids coming out of the woodworks left and right.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, here we go. So I go, I deal up the candy. I said, hey, where are you kids from? Bakersfield, they say.
No kidding.
Bakersfield. Wait. They walk away. Their dad from the end of the driveway, the Raider fan douchebag that he is, yells at me. How come you don't give my kids enough candy? Give my kids more candy. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back, I thought.
Give my kids more candy.
Until the Crips came into my neighborhood last year.
The Crips.
And you could say, oh, how do you know it was a Crip? Well, maybe it was just some big surly black man dressing in blue Dickies and a blue shirt with cornrows coming into my neighborhood for Halloween. No. And I don't think the kids in my neighborhood need to be subjected to Crips and Bakersfield people. I don't think that my parents should have to spend $350 on candy to make up for the increase, the massive influx of children coming from all over the place. Go to your own neighborhood. That's what Halloween was for, is to help you kind of get to know people in the neighborhood and to bask in the great community that you live in.
Mm-hmm. But not everybody's able to live in a great community,
by the
way.
Yeah, maybe they live in a dangerous neighborhood.
Oh, so make mine dangerous? My dad worked his ass off all his life so that he could have a nice neighborhood for me to live in, and you bring the Crips to me? You bring the Crips to me?
I like how Mike is objecting to his parents' house, which they just gave him. I mean, not that you own it, but I know, but you're my neighborhood.
Well, no, listen, I feel bad for my family.
That you were born to that family.
For my family. All
right, you're not listening.
You know what? I feel even worse for the kids in my neighborhood.
Hey, Mike, since you're screaming, you're not listening.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going
to
take it
anymore. I'm going to repeat what Lisa just said, which is you're really lucky to have been born where you were to who you were in that kind of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
You know what? If I lived in another neighborhood, I would want the kids in my neighborhood to come, to come around and come to my house and get candy.
Dodge the bullets.
I wouldn't want them to go somewhere else. I would want.
Why do you hate, Mike?
Listen.
Why do you hate?
By the way, my parents' neighborhood, not all that safe on Halloween because kids are dressed up in black outfits, and it's dark. So many Asian drivers around San Marino. That's just as dangerous as anywhere else on Earth. It's like Fallujah. Right. You're dodging cars. Mercedes-Benz driving over bushes.
It's not like Fallujah.
It is.
Mike, first of all, quit yelling at us. First of all, quit yelling at us.
I didn't come back from Nam for this.
You didn't go to Nam.
I did.
You've never been to Nam.
Last man out of Saigon.
You can't card little kids who are coming to your house for Halloween. Look, so an hour a week, they're not in their dirtbag neighborhood, and they get a chance to maybe get some decent Snickers bars. Why deny them from that opportunity?
An hour a year, by the way, not a week.
They are denying the kids, say, from my little league team, the kids I know from down the street.
Are they running them off?
Yeah, yes.
No, they're not.
There's a line out the door to get candy.
So hand it out.
I got some tape.
Hand it out faster.
Oh no, you had a microphone.
I was asking kids, where are you from? I was denying kids. I was the bouncer of candy.
You did what? Not
on Halloween. Mike. On Halloween,
effing kids.
On Halloween,
yeah.
How far away can they live and still come to your house before you start throwing a little tissy fit? If they're two streets over, is that too far away?
City limits.
City of San Marino
City
only.
City limits.
All right, just before we play the tape, Diane
wants them to have papers before they come to the door.
Diane in El Monte, good morning.
Hi, I'm not in El Monte. I teach in El Monte.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Okay.
And you're calling to say what?
My kids are all gang types, mm-hmm. and they all talk about going into the rich white neighborhoods to go trick-or-treating because the rich white neighborhoods give full-size candy.
That's right.
Sure.
But how could you, how do you fault them for that?
I fault them for that because of the attitude they have for white people. All the white kids at my school are never called by their name. They're only called white girl and white boy.
Oh, wow.
That's why I fault them for that.
Is it possible their last name is white?
No.
Have you thought of that? No.
So okay. You white girl and white boy, and all of the Asian kids are Chino and China. They have no respect for... these people, and then want to go.
Listen, I understand that there are bad kids out there. I do understand that, yeah. But there are also a lot of kids out there that don't have a great neighborhood and just want to go someplace where they can get a big candy bar.
Or they're just young, and their parents drive them somewhere and dump them out of the van.
All right, Mike, what did you do?
Why
last
does white
night?
Teacher hate? That's what I want to know.
What did you do last night?
I stood in front of my home, or
I'm
my
sorry,
family's home.
Your dad's home.
My family's home, yeah.
Which you've done nothing to earn.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm okay. Not. I'm, in fact, in front of my apartment, probably no trick-or-treaters.
He probably didn't even buy the candy.
No, he didn't. Of course
but
he didn't.
You know how much money he had to spend on candy to accommodate the massive volume of kids? It was ridiculous. And that's unfair. If we spread the wealth a little bit, everybody be spending $30, $40 on candy instead of no money spent in wherever this lady's teaching and $250, $300 spent in our neighborhood. Ridiculous.
Is your dad going to have to sell the house now?
Trickle-down economics.
Because he had to get that much
second
candy?
Second mortgage. Listen to me.
All right, what tape do you have?
I'm standing in front of the house with the microphone, and I simply had to ask kids, where are you from? I need to know.
All right.
I need to
trick
know.
Or treat, little boy, little girl. What's underneath there?
Trick or treat.
Where are you guys from?
Here.
What's your zip code?
911-08.
911-08?
Yeah.
All right. More candy for you. Hold on.
Thank you.
Trick or treat to you.
Trick or treat to everybody in the world.
What's your name?
William.
William, where do you go to school?
Washington.
Where do you live?
A few houses down.
All right. Candy for you. Hold on. You're the man, William. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
What's your name?
Jack.
Where do you live, Jack?
Down there.
What do you mean down there? How far away down there?
Like 7 houses.
Oh, okay, good. Candy for you. I'm trying to filter out the non-neighborhood kids, Jack. You know what I'm saying? Hey, wait. Grim Reaper, what's your name?
Leon.
Leon, where are you from?
Alhambra.
Alhambra? No candy for you. Next house. Next house. Hey, beautiful princess, what's your name?
Gigi.
What's that?
Gigi.
Where are you from?
Temple City.
No candy for you. Next house. That's how it goes.
Little Gigi.
Maybe after a couple of years. Little Gigi can bite it. Little Gigi can bite it. And listen, maybe after a couple of years of this treatment, we'll all start going back to our own neighborhoods now, won't we?
Why do you hate?
I don't hate.
Oh, poor Gigi.
Who hurt you?
Like four.
Listen, this is my favorite kid.
Trick or treat to you.
To everybody in the world.
Get ripped.
Coming to meet Afroline, 323-520-AFRO.
24 hours a day, you can leave a message. Anytime something comes up, like perhaps you finally have figured out the answer to a question everybody's been asking.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you know how I know you're gay? Because you suck.
Okay. What would cause... Why would he think of that in call?
Any number of things, probably.
Okay.
This particular person is pointing out that maybe not all of the sponsors of K-Rock, which we wholeheartedly support, maybe they don't have a grip on the audience that they're advertising to.
Well, I just heard a CIA commercial on K-Rock during the Kevin and Bean show. Wrong demographic, man. Dude, I'm a CIA agent. Oh.
Hey, the CIA needs undercover stoners, too. Let's
That's
remember
right.
that.
They need to bust that pot community wide open. Here's a the last Halloween mention.
Hey, I found out what Linda McCartney's Halloween costume is going to be. She's going to hold a gigantic pencil, put on an ice skate, and be a protractor. Later!
Yeah, we had some people emailing similar jokes, too. If you're going to tell that joke, get Heather Mills McCartney's name in it instead of Linda McCartney, because that was his first wife with two legs who's been dead for years. That's just a tip if you're going to attempt any of your own Heather Mills McCartney comedy.
Don't call her Linda?
Well, I'm just saying, if you want the joke to make sense.
Okay.
As they say, dying is easy. Comedy is hard.
That's exactly. True.
That is true.
Po's out.
Okay.
K-Fed fan there.
That's hot.
Would you have guessed from the sound of the voice on the phone that was a girl?
Not for 1 second.
Here's a guy who's referencing something that a friend of ours that we've talked to throughout the years, but it's been a long time since we talked to her. And a certain word makes her go out of her mind, literally like crumble to the floor and cover her head.
Moist.
Yeah, she just went down.
I got to tell you, I still don't understand how a word can make someone do that, but I've seen her, and it literally is worse than fingernails on a chalkboard to her. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Lisa, you're friends with Moisty. Is that the only word that has that effect on her?
Yeah. That's weird. It.
But she also has that.
And you can say moisture doesn't bother her.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that weird?
Does she also still have that spot on her back where if you push it, she burps?
She has the burp spot. And she can't say words with double T's, like cotton.
Yeah.
It's cotton. Button.
Well, she needs to stop it.
She's got her stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. Some of the K-Rock audience, very, very sad today.
Bean, can't believe you're giving up on your blog. Such a quitter. Just like Pluto. Pluto quit being a planet because it couldn't handle the pressure at all. I can't be a planet. I'm too small. I quit. So is that, you want to be a quitter like your planet, Bean? Fine. Freaking quitter.
I am proud to be in the company of Pluto.
You're not in the company of Pluto. It's a rock.
That guy says I am.
Ding dong, the blog is dead. The blog is dead. The wicked blog is dead.
Not everyone's sad. I have problems occasionally with the English language.
Hey, guys. I think I finally have Kevin figured out. Okay, you know that guy on Heroes that can freeze time? I think Kevin has the same tempo gift. Hear me out. You're in the middle of a segment. Suddenly, Kevin hears the cries of a midget stuck in a tree. So he freezes time, goes to save the midget, comes back, but by that time, he's forgotten everything that he just said. So he says something stupid to cover his ass. Kevin, you sly bastard, you. Keep up the good fight.
Thank you.
That's a first of all, reasonable theory. I almost bought it. But why would Kevin ever bother to save a midget in a tree?
That's a good point. That's where they belong.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving turkey outside the window. Thanksgiving turkey behind the tree.
Let's talk about Tyra Banks for just a minute, shall we?
Let's.
Okay.
I hate her.
Me too. I do not like her at all.
I am not a fan. She started doing her talk show about a year ago. Remember she did the fat suit? Remember that episode where she went out in a fat suit and people treated her so cruelly? And then she came back and sat on the couch between two fat girls who can't be supermodels now?
Right, who can't take off the suit.
Right. And she got them to pat her on the back and feel sorry for her. She got them to cry for her.
I think she is still developing some of her skills necessary to appropriately host a talk show.
Remember when she did the show where she did it on Facing Fears and everybody had to face their fears? And then she was, I think she's afraid of what, dolphins?
Dolphins.
Something like so not dangerous. And at the end of the show, she ran. Remember that? She ran away from it?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Remember when she did the stripper show? And she was undercover as a stripper? And she talked to all the strippers, and then it was her turn to go out on the stage, which, by the way, that's how she's made her living, going out on stage. And she couldn't do it. She just couldn't bring herself to do it. That was the big climax of the stripper show.
That's how you know you're a bad stripper, by the way, is if you refuse to strip.
That's true. Isn't she like an Oprah protege? I mean,
Oprah is her hero.
That's what I thought, right?
Yeah, and she's done a lot of work over the years. In fact, one of the things she did to prepare for her own talk show was she did a lot of work as a correspondent on Oprah's show. And with Oprah's blessing, she started her own show for really more for the younger black women on television.
Okay, so this is her. And I'm guessing she's spoofing Oprah because it seems like she's trying to spoof Oprah about how, you know, I guess they give away stuff to the audience members.
A lot, yeah.
And then she yells and jumps around. And that's what Tyra was doing. And it's really difficult to hear what she's talking about. So I'm going to tell you in advance, it's Vaseline. Okay.
Okay.
I'm about to reveal my biggest beauty secret ever.
Okay, stop right there. Do we have any idea why she's A, giving away Vaseline, and B, why she's screaming about giving away Vaseline? What was leading up to this? Do we know?
She kind of screams about everything, and the audience kind of screams back.
No, but I'm guessing this is she's spoofing Oprah because it sounds like this is something Oprah would do. If you hear the whole thing, it's like,
she's making fun of Oprah giving away cars.
Remember when she gave away the cars and she was saying, "You get a car, you get a car." Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, that's still coming up. Hang on. Okay.
And anything cream, meaning I and anything. All right. Now, during the break, we had some really hunky boys that brought out these very special boxes to our studio audience. And inside the boxes is my super duper no fell skin saving I and anything cream.
Sounds like she's doing Oprah impression.
Yeah.
So on the count of three, I want you to all open them together. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
Now, in the clip, she's laying down on the ground and kicking her arms and legs in the air, too, right?
What the hell?
She's laying on the ground, kicking. But the fact that the audience jumped up like they were really excited, that to me says they're doing a skit that they're trying to,
You don't think so?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Then she's more hateable than I thought. If not, I mean,
does she go into any sort of explanation about why Vaseline is her wonder cream?
I don't know. I didn't see the whole show.
Okay.
Just saw the clip.
But that's nothing, B. That's nothing.
But wait, there's more?
Yeah, that's nothing. She did a season opening show for America's Next Top Model. Mm-hmm. And she put together a really, really fine skit where she comes walking out and she meets all the contestants. These are all young girls who want to be in the modeling business. And she's wearing like a black cape and she's got an entourage as she walks out to meet them. And she's got this air of superiority and she is just about to do the world's funniest comedy skit.
Where are these photographers? Who are these young beaches? I am the only supermodel in the world.
So she's doing a fake accent, foreign accent. And
she's pretending to be a diva. This is her way of saying to the up-and-coming models, hey, don't ever turn into this person.
Right.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. Hey, you guys, don't ever turn into this.
And I am almost 35, and I do not like young bitches. I am the queen! I am the queen! What?
Now, because she has no content, she's turned to just screaming. She screams now.
Yeah.
She just screams. I am the queen. I am the queen. And now when she says what, I have to explain this to you. She had some fans set up so her cape and hair could be blowing in the wind. And they went off. The fans went off. So now she's realizing that there's no wind. And she says, what?
What? Where is my wind?
We're going to get the...
What?
I've told you this woman needs wind constantly. Girls, help me blow.
You are not beautiful like me. Okay, you know what? I am not returning to this set until all of these little prepubescent bitches are gone.
She falls down and just starts screaming. I kid you not.
Jeez.
That's so hard to listen to, right?
It's
way hard, yeah. I liked Tyra
Banks
when she didn't talk.
Tyra Banks is bad.
She
Say
is
it.
Bad.
Say it.
I can't.
The prosecution
speak to
rests,
that.
Your Honor.
I can't speak to that sketch. I'll tell you that. That's pretty awful. There's no question about
Tyra
that.
Tyra Banks blows.
Come on, Mean.
Say it.
In Tyra's defense, though,
how
I'm not
can you
trying
even
to defend,
start a sentence with that?
I'm not
after
trying
hearing
to defend
the screaming.
That sketch. It was horrible. Look, it's horrible. I'm agreeing with you. I think it's every bit as bad as you do. But the point, she was trying to make a point about
the
divas.
Oh, shut
up! She made it poorly. It's true. She was making. I read about this sketch
Tyra
that you
Banks
played.
Blows.
She was trying to make a point about divas don't turn into this, and that's a small portion of an entire season of America's Next Top Model. But it was bad. It was really bad. I grant you that.
Assistant producer Alex just sent me a note. We just turned off the show in here. Can't take it. I think Ralph just killed himself.
Yeah. It was hard to listen to.
Tyra Banks is
way
bad.
Way hard to listen
say
to.
Say it. Say it. We can move on.
Tyra Banks was not good in that sketch. I'll tell you that.
She's bad.
I'm not going to say she's bad overall, like her, in her entirety. I will say I cannot defend that sketch. I will say that.
Say that she blows.
I did like her better before she started talking.
Before she opened her mouth. Yeah, that's for sure.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Why don't you get your ducks in a duck place first?
That was a moment with Ralph.
What, ducks don't belong ducks. In a duck place? Where else would ducks belong?
Ha!
Got
way.
You
that's
there, don't
point.
I?
I hadn't thought of it that
See?
Way. That's true.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Why don't you get your ducks in a duck place first?
That was a moment with Ralph.
What, ducks don't belong ducks. In a duck place? Where else would ducks belong?
Ha! Well,
you
put it that
got
way.
You there, don't
point.
I?
I hadn't thought of it that
See?
Way. That's true, yeah.
It's 6:53 on the Kevin DeBede Show. Very talented actor John Leguizamo has now written a book. Apparently, it's one of those rare celebrity books where he names names and tells stories about famous friends. So we'll find out what that's all about coming up after the news. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat and more tickets to a movie premiere you're going to want to attend.
Yes, you will want to attend Tenacious D in
The Pick of Destiny.
I've got 4 packs of passes to the red carpet world premiere of the film.
The Pick of Destiny.
Yeah. World's greatest band and the world's greatest motion picture. It's Thursday, November 9th at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. If you'd like to go, I've got 2 4 packs of passes to give away right now to callers number 15 and 16. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now, and you'll get to see Tenacious D in
The Pick of Destiny.
Well done.
I'm not casting
He's
you anymore.
Unreliable.
You really are.
I was there. I just am trying
like
for reasons.
You're like Lindsay Lohan on a film set. That's how much I can count on you. Get you loaded. You show up whenever you want, hungover.
I do not have fire down there.
Yeah, all right.
That you know of.
We may have a reason behind the breakup between Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe.
Really?
Sources are claiming that Ryan had an affair with his new co-star in a film called Stop Loss in Texas. An Australian actress named Abby Cornish.
She hot?
The 24-year-old smoking hot Australian says the rumors aren't true. Her publicist released a statement yesterday saying it's not true. They are co-stars, and that is it. However, sources on the set saying it was pretty much an open secret that the two were having an affair while filming the movie. Another report says that Reese found out about the romance with Cornish after reading some saucy emails sent to Ryan on his BlackBerry.
Oh, boy.
Weep, weep, weep.
Yeah.
So that might be the reason behind the final split between those two. Yeah. They've been having problems for some time, but apparently that could have been the straw that broke the camel's back, although this is all alleged. So please don't sue.
We don't know if it's true or not.
Okay. Exactly.
Why is Reese Witherspoon such a tight ass? He was out of state, right?
That's right. Plus, he was an Iraqi war veteran.
Yeah, exactly.
In the movie. So
yeah.
He should got a little love for that, you know? Good news for you two fans. They are releasing a 3D concert film next year. Hollywood Reporter says the movie will be shown in theaters like IMAX and other big-time movie theaters around the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's made up of footage from U2's South American concert tour earlier this year. So you'll be looking for that next summer or fall. You'll be able to see U2 in 3D.
Very cool.
That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'll be weird to watch a concert like that.
Anna Nicole Smith has been hospitalized in the Bahamas with pneumonia. Jeez, with her chest, it could be deadly. She's in the same medical center where her 20-year-old son died under mysterious circumstances in September, so there's still hope. We got a shot. That's all I'm telling you, people. The hospital has a track record.
That's right. They have killed other family members.
Yes.
She does her first interview since all of this nonsense has been going on with Entertainment Tonight tomorrow night, apparently. It's gonna...
I've seen clips for the upcoming interview with Mark Steinis.
Mm-hmm.
And so what about your mother, Anna Nicole? Because her mother came up for her and said, something's wrong with this death of Daniels or whatever. She's like, I will never talk to her again. Like her head's shaking and everything, like she's possessed. It's awesome. Very excited about that interview.
There's a clip from her upcoming interview.
Oh, good.
It is bull.
It is bull.
It's total bull.
You're bull.
Fine, I'm bull.
You are.
Good.
I think it's Larry King.
Becky, you can see how much love there is between the two of them, between Howard K. Stern and Anna Nicole.
Isn't it beautiful?
You can see why they're married now. Yeah. Or committed to each other on a catamaran ceremony. Not really
in
marriage.
In a fake way.
Yeah. Madonna has announced she will raise her little baby from Malawi under the teachings of Kabbalah.
Yes. Yes. Because you need that little string on your wrist to keep away the evil eye.
The 13-month-old Malawian David was in New York City on Sunday, and in the photographs, you can see him wearing a tiny little red string bracelet, Kevin. You're right. Which is said to protect the wearer from the evil eye. Madonna said he'll be raised in the study of Kabbalah, but when he's older, he can be whatever he wants. Well, it's mighty big of you, Madonna.
That is nice.
Yeah. As soon as that boy learns how to speak English, the first thing he's going to say is, please send me back to Malawi.
They don't believe in BS red string bracelets there.
No.
We live in dirt, yet we know what's what.
Yeah. Although they don't believe in food there either, so maybe he'll be happy.
Well,
who knows?
You know. They believe in it.
Oh, they do.
They
okay.
just don't have any.
All right.
Lindsay Lohan may finally be cleaning up her act. In Touch magazine says she's got a new best friend that is a positive role model in her life. That friend is Rumor Willis, daughter of Bruce Willis and Demi Moore.
Oh, really?
Apparently, Rumor is a good student, doesn't party, lives a pretty solid, straightforward life, and is having a good influence on Lindsay.
Well, that's good.
They also claim she's been dating actor James Franco, who you know from the Spider-Man movies. He plays Harry Osborn in those films.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Who apparently hates the whole Hollywood party thing and has been a calming influence for Lindsay as well. So people are saying she's starting to turn her life around.
She will blow them off within, I would say, today.
Yeah. It'll be like waving a red flag in front of her. You get a bottle of tequila or something, right. And you just do that. She just charges and just goes right into hide. So don't expect that to last too long. And it's true, all of England hates Heather Mills McCartney.
Excellent.
Recently, at the Britain's Q Awards this week, outspoken and popular British TV host and comedian Jonathan Ross was hosting the award ceremony and was cheered by the entire crowd when he opened up the ceremonies by coming out and saying, Heather Mills McCartney, what an effing liar. I wouldn't be surprised if we actually found out she's got two legs.
That's great.
See what he did there. He mocked her lies.
Yes.
And she has one leg. Or so she tells
That's
us.
That's what she'd like us to
That's
believe.
Her story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Anthony Kiedis, singer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, turns 44 years old today. Rick Lefty Allen from Def Leppard is 43 years old today.
Lefty is his
nickname. Lefty. See, because he's got the one arm.
One arm, yeah.
Still a good drummer with one arm. You would think that would be a profession that would require you to be bi-armed.
Nope. He's mono-armed.
He's mono-armed and excellent at what he does.
And still drums well.
Toni Collette, the very talented actress, is 34 years old today. And Jenny McCarthy,
Ooh.
A girl who... She's a woman who looks good naked?
Yes.
We can put that as her credit.
Sure.
Let's put that as her
yes.
credit. Currently dating Jim Carrey.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Can you imagine a conversation with those two? Can you imagine being in the same room with Jim Carrey and Jenny McCarthy at the same time?
When Robin Williams comes over for dinner?
Yeah, Robin Williams comes over for dinner. It's like antimatter. The whole room just implodes.
Look at this face. Look at this face.
With just mugging. It's just a mugging implosion happens right there. It's the white hot supernova of mugging. Look at me, Jim. I can fart. Oh, my goodness.
We're not allowed to talk about Acoustic Christmas yet, so please keep your comments about Mugging Implosion to yourself.
Oh, Mugging Implosion. They're good.
Get there early.
Got their album. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh,
always excited to welcome to the program one of our favorite actors, John Leguizamo. Of course, you know him from Spawn and Land of the Dead, Moulin Rouge, so much more in his great hit Broadway and HBO shows. Now he has written a book. And I can't believe we know somebody smart enough to have actually written a book, but John Leguizamo has done it, and he joins us on K-Rock. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, man? I went to college. What can I tell you?
I know. Smart dude.
All that student loaning and owning that money forever and ruining my credit.
Yeah, I'm not so much into the reading. I don't read.
But I have pictures. This picture.
Okay, all right, then I'm
no
in.
No nude photos, but yeah, we got pictures.
Is there a is there going to be an audio version, John, that you'll read?
Yeah, I want to start doing that next week.
Seriously, that's big
those
business.
Make now, money, yeah, for the
they
know,
do
get in the car. You want to shut the kids up or something?
This is a book called "Pimps, Hoes, Playa Haters, and All the Rest of My Hollywood Friends."
And it's just like that, isn't it? I mean, who's your friend in Hollywood anyway?
That's true, John. Why'd you want to write a book?
I'm masochistic.
Right? I know that from your stage shows. I know
right,
that about
exactly.
You.
So I'm continuing in the same trend, my friend.
I mean,
they tell you to write these autobiographies later in your life when you're ready to retire. And
right.
I guess I might be getting enough lawsuits that I'll have to retire.
Yeah, then it gets away from you and you don't.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because most people in Hollywood have stories. Let's face it. Most people see stuff.
Oh, everybody's got a story. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've seen stuff with your friends that you know the deal is, hey, you'll never tell anybody that. It's our secret. Keep it out of the public. Yet you go and write a book.
Yeah, right. But some stuff I did keep out because the lawyers wouldn't back me up on it.
Can you send that stuff to us?
Yeah, I'll email it to you. What's your email address?
Now, John, it's funny because we are here in Los Angeles, and we make fun of somebody like, I don't know, like Keanu Reeves, for example. And then we run into him at a restaurant. It's got to be awkward.
You pretend to be best buds.
Yeah, I mean, do you? Or I mean, we hide. We basically hide under the table when we see them. But you talk about a lot of people in your book. Spike Lee is one of them.
The people I talk about, you know, I'm ready to, like, have a confrontation, so I'm fine.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good.
You know, like, Steven Seagal, you know, he knocked the wind out of me when I did Executive Decision for no reason. I mean, I was supposed to be his right-hand dude in the flick, and the first rehearsal, he knocks me against the wall, and I'm like... Why? I couldn't even talk.
What was he like? Because Steven Seagal to us is a punchline.
Well, the good thing about that movie was that he died early. That's why he signed on.
But is he one of these guys that's just like totally full of himself and thinks he can do, you know, martial arts and you know what I mean? Is he kind of that smarmy guy?
He is like that. Yeah. I mean, I know costume didn't like him very much, and they looked into his wardrobe and they found out he was wearing some military fatigues, and they said Hollywood costume shop.
Oh my
That's
god!
Funny.
He said he was a Green Beret or something like that, but he had a Hollywood costume shop.
That's so pathetic.
That's awesome.
See, that's funny, and I'm glad it's in John's book because no one else is writing a book about Steven Seagal, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm talking about him now because I know he's hiding from the mob, so.
Exactly, yeah.
So I'm kind
of
safe.
You, let me just throw out another name that I see that you write about in the book because I'm fascinated because I'm trying to, in my head, figure out what the intersection is between your career and some of these other people. Like Harrison Ford, did you do a movie with him? How do you know him?
I did a movie with a flick with him because I wanted to work with Mike Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked me to play the guy who shoots him in Regarding Henry.
Oh, okay. You're the guy who shot him in Regarding Henry. Hey,
yeah,
nice work, a-hole.
I had a big afro. I was trying to hide. I was very humiliated.
That's funny.
I didn't want anybody to recognize me.
And so what do you write about him in the book? What kinds of stories do you tell about your time with Harrison Ford?
I knew, I mean, I don't know, I can't connect it with him, but I smelled a lot of weed. He was like a rapper. It was like hanging out with a rapper.
He smokes that much weed. You know, I've heard that.
That's cool.
Yeah,
though.
We've
He's
heard
cool,
that.
Man.
He is. Does he? It seems like he has the least life energy of anyone we've ever seen.
Yeah, he has mellowed out in recent years.
I mean, when you weed it up, you're just cool.
Yeah, I guess.
You're just natural zen.
I guess.
But it's so funny because,
I've been
you know.
Ever since I met him.
just on the contact high. You know, it's funny. I mean, everybody loves Harrison Ford. Obviously, he's a great actor
cool.
And he's done those
he's
iconic
cool.
characters, Indiana Jones and Han Solo and everything. But it's so funny because you see him now and he does seem like the battery is almost dead. And he doesn't even open his mouth anymore when he speaks. That's how low energy he is. It's actually kind of funny.
It's cool. I want to be like that. I want to stop being a motor mouth.
I don't think it's possible,
like, "What's up, Kevin?"
for you to ever be that serene. There's no possible way.
Yeah, you are not a mellow guy.
You describe, I guess in the book, you describe your childhood in Queens. And you say your father was a strict autocrat, totalitarian, despot, dictator, disciplinarian.
And that's all the sorest words I could find.
That's the good part of your dad.
Yeah, my dad was very strict, man. You couldn't say sir. I mean, you couldn't say what. You had to say sir to him.
Right.
You could never say what. He's like, John, what? And he goes, no, sir, because it's like the F word for him.
Right.
Especially for Latin dads. Latin dads are very autocratic like that.
What did your family think about you deciding to become an actor, John?
They thought I was wasting my life. My father was like, you're wasting everything. All the money, we're immigrants, we came to the country, and you're going to become an actor. What a fool. But then, you know, they get parental amnesia, and they go, we helped you. We really pushed you to be an actor. I'm like, yeah, right.
We supported you the whole way.
Yeah, I was like, what happened to those big arguments and fights where you're going to cut me off and everything?
We are speaking with actor John Leguizamo, who's always very entertaining. Pimps, Hoes, Playa Haters, and All the Rest of My Hollywood Friends is the name of the book. It's available everywhere. What kind of reaction are you getting from people that you name in the book? Have you heard anything back from some of these people?
Today, so
okay.
I have a chance for the backlash. But call, get back to me in a week.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be one.
Oh, for damn sure.
Let me ask you one more thing, John, because we've talked to people over the years who have written books, and for some, it's really, really, really difficult. Was that the case with you? How much time did you have to spend to get this thing down?
It took 3 years.
Wow.
3 years?
Yeah, because you gotta go through your life, and things that you think are interesting aren't really interesting to anybody else, and stuff that you don't think is interesting is really interesting. So you gotta, like, go through this process, man, of, like, you know, filtering out the crap. And
do you have somebody that will give you that kind of feedback that you can rely on?
Yeah, you got an editor. You got serious editors at this book company.
So you bring the book to him. You go, look at this. This chapter is the best.
Oh,
and then he goes,
This is. I'm basically, you know, Eugene O'Neill over here. What
right.
Do you mean? Cut it out.
And then he looks at you and says, what else you got?
Yeah, exactly.
No one cares.
Yeah. All right.
Did you? Did
I'll go back to the drawing board?
Did you write it yourself, John? Did you have a ghostwriter or both?
I wrote it.
How about that?
Bean's acting like we just met a guy from outer space.
No,
a guy that wrote a book.
Well, most celebs don't really write their own books.
No, that's true.
No, most of them don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pimps, Hoes, Playa Haters, and All the Rest of My Hollywood Friends is available now if you want to buy the book. You're also in are you in a movie coming out soon?
No.
I didn't hear
yet.
That. Okay.
Not yet. Next spring.
Next spring. Okay. All right.
Fantastic.
I'm shooting The Love and the Time of Cholera in Colombia.
Oh, wow. That was a great book. Fantastic.
I did read that, yeah.
The book sounds fascinating, John. We're proud of you, man. Congratulations on it. I hope it's a big hit for you. And thanks for coming on K-Rock again today.
You're like the dad I never had. I love you, man.
Call us sir.
Marsha. Let's talk about Marsha Cross from Desperate Housewives. Ralph broke this story yesterday in the Showbiz Beat, and it's really kind of surprising that somebody as high profile as she is, knowing how the paparazzi are, would let something like this happen.
Marsha Cross, she's the redhead on the Desperate Housewives,
mm-hmm.
and apparently she threw away about 200 pictures that included, you know, nude photos and stuff. She threw them away.
Has it crossed anyone's mind just for a second that maybe this was done on purpose? I thought about it yesterday. It's like she's someone who would never normally want naked pictures out, but if they somehow just got picked up by a trash man when she threw them away, it's kind of an interesting way to get something out into the public without taking responsibility for it.
But why do
why
that,
would she want that
when Playboy would
know.
Probably pay her $1 million to pose?
Because she doesn't want the stigma of actually being someone who wanted to pose naked. This way it's not her fault.
So she
not
wanted
what
people
she
to
wanted,
see her naked.
But listen
but
to
she
everyone
didn't want to make
talking
money for
about
it.
It's just a thought.
Yeah, it's a bad one. That's a bad thought.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's anything to it because
unbelievably stupid. Otherwise,
it is stupid. There's no.
That's
question
what we
about
can't
that.
Believe. We can't believe that you would throw something like that out. I mean, get a shredder for God's sake.
Oh yeah.
You know what?
Or burn
it. It could have been in a box of other things. You know, maybe it's got a lid on it. Whatever. But for whatever reason, there was a firm that was hired to remove the trash from her home in Los Angeles, and they found the pictures as they took the trash away, and they said, "Hey, she's throwing these away, we'll take them."
And by the way, that makes me wonder if that firm is going through her trash, knowing it's Marsha Cross's, to see if there's anything in there, too, by the way. Because
kudos to them for doing that.
when you have your trash picked up on the curb in front of your house, they don't go through it and see what's in it. They just throw it away.
I put nude photos in there every single day of me, and no one will look. That's very sad.
Well, I'm not sure that this is important, but I think Ralph said yesterday it was a catering company that had been catering a party for her, and this was some of the trash that they hauled
Fantastic.
Out. Fantastic. Yeah.
I don't care how it gets out. I'm just glad it did. Here's the point. We've been saying for a long time, and she may be the exception, by the way. She may be the exception.
She is awfully hot.
There are some exceptions to the rule, but the rule, the Kevin and Bean rule of law, is that you don't photograph yourself naked or having sex. You don't take videotape because, unfortunately, you know, we guys don't look like Tommy Lee and you ladies don't look like Pamela Anderson for the most part. I mean, that's probably the best sex tape that's out there, right? Where they actually look good and and it came out well. Most of the time, you know, you don't look as good as you feel, and then it's going to bite you in the ass. Yeah. So don't do it.
Well, that's the point. Even if it doesn't accidentally fall into wrong hands like it did for Marcia Cross right now, what happens so often is you get these pictures and, you know, you're all lovey-dovey with your significant other, and then you guys break up. Mm-hmm. And then you've got an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend who has sex videos or pictures of you, and who knows what happens based on why you broke up? Who knows what those are going to be used for? It's just a dangerous, dangerous thing to have out there.
Here's the problem. They have access to the internet.
Yes,
and
they do.
The internet can put it everywhere. So we would suggest that you don't do that. We've been suggesting this for 15 years.
Yes.
And we just found out that our producer, Lightning, was in Cabo, I believe, and recently, very recently, and was drunk and made a videotape of himself having sex.
He doesn't even take our advice, and he works on the show. How are we supposed to get this message across to everybody else?
He said that he was really drunk, and he didn't remember doing it, and then he came across his camera. It was one of those digital cameras, not a video camera, but a digital camera that takes video, and he came across it and said, wow, I videotaped myself having sex.
No,
how about that?
No, didn't say that. Didn't say that at all. Said I shot a porno.
Shot a porno.
So it wasn't
didn't
you?
Didn't ever say that I was in it.
Who was it?
Wait a minute.
You made that assumption.
Is it friends of
yours?
You
made that assumption.
Okay, wait
I'm
a
not
minute.
Saying who's in
Can
it.
Can we just ask I'm if it's not, people you know?
Wait a minute.
It includes
wait
people
a minute.
Yes, I am not saying that I'm in it.
Lightning,
or not in it.
Yesterday, when we started talking about this, said I shot a porno.
That's correct. And
now,
that's
what do you think? We're talking about people who videotape themselves. How could we jump to that conclusion?
You were talking about tapes.
All right, here's
and
what happened. Bean, here's what happened. Lighting went home, told his wife.
That's not true.
That he told us. No. And she said, how could you?
Call her right now.
And then she made him change his story.
Not
so
true.
Now he's changing his story.
Not true.
Well, then why would you not have true. Corrected us yesterday? It was a correct assumption. We're talking about videotaping yourself.
It doesn't matter. Let's say it was of someone else. You still don't want the photos of there. You know, if I don't want to ruin a relationship with those people involved, it's still dangerous footage to have out in the open, regardless of who it is. That's why I brought it up.
You were blushing like I've never seen yesterday. You were bright red.
Yes, that is that because it was like because
you had videotaped someone else. I don't believe you. Your gigantic white no base having ass was high in the air, and you are embarrassed by it.
Not the case. Not the case.
Right,
but you'll never know, will you?
Get out.
Freaky dickies need love too. Freaky dickies need love too.
That's a good point.
Maybe it was his wife and another girl.
Oh, I can only hope.
I kind of got the feeling yesterday that his wife was in it.
Oh, I did too. That's because he gave us that feeling, especially when he started turning bright red.
By the way,
hey, Lightning, is your wife in it?
I'm not saying. Here's some stills of the Pam and Tommy.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I know.
A good deal.
Hey, trust me.
All right, here's what we're going to do. 1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number. We want to hear your experience if you've had photos or videotapes that have gotten into the wrong hands or have been used against you some way. We don't know how it's going to end up with Marcia Cross. We don't know if there's going to be some sort of a payoff, or we don't know if it's going to be in Hustler next month. We have no idea what the repercussions are going to be of that.
We hope the right thing happens, which is to put them out there because she's pretty hot. So 1-800-520-1067. You videotaped yourself with your ex or whoever having sex, or you took nude photos. Maybe you sent nude emails to somebody, and then they went ahead and just forwarded them to everybody on accident or on purpose. Who knows? It could go wrong in any number of ways. So give us a call, and we'll take your calls when we get back on K-Rock.
We're talking about videotaping and taking photos of yourself naked or having sex. We've been advising you for a long time not to do it, and you're about to find out why. Because inevitably, those photos and video come back to bite you in the ass. 1-800-520-1067. Casey in Woodland Hills, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened to you, dude?
Oh, this is Casey. I'm a girl.
What happened to you, Chip?
Hi, Casey.
Hi. I went on a weekend trip for a blues festival in Washington State. At the time, my ex-girlfriend and I were videotaping the concert. And later on that night, we got in the shower and just set the video camera. And, you know, we got a little carried away there. We got all sudsy and we got really good close-ups.
You understand we're not giving away a prize right now, right, Casey? Because it sounds like you're bucking for something free.
We had so much fun. It was just great. You know, we're having fun. We got close-ups like I'm
talking. All right, we got it. We got it. But how did it go south?
Yeah. The reason is later on, like a couple weeks later, my son was having a birthday party, and he's showing old videotape of himself. So somehow he got a hold of our videotape and played it in front of the whole family.
Oh.
That's a bummer. Did he do that on purpose?
No, he didn't. No, it was not labeled. He just said, oh, okay, well, here's a bunch of tapes. We're just playing tapes.
Hey, let's watch this one. Here, and Mommy, what are you doing, Mommy?
There's Grandma, there's Grandpa, all the uncles, and we're like,
that's sweet.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Did the grandpa say, let it change?
Especially since, you know, we're lesbians, and a couple of the family members had no clue.
No clue.
I would like very much to believe your story, Casey, but it's really too good, so I'm going to call BS on it.
You can call BS. I'm going to say that it sounds BS, but I'm choosing to believe it because I like it.
Me too,
She was awfully quick to give us the details about lathering up in the shower and the close-ups of the girl.
That offends you how?
I'm just saying it's too good to be true.
We can still believe if we want
to. Well, there is that, too. Let's go to Shannon in Santa Monica. Shannon, you had the naked pictures taken of you. Is that what happened?
Something like that. I was in a Dirty Dancing contest, and, you know, I am an incredibly hot chick, but as a, I don't know, as an insurance plan, I put a very small sticker on my boobs that said, go snowboarding.
Right.
And, you know, a see-through thong, of course.
You mean, like, just in case the pictures got out? Okay.
Just in case I had some stiff competition.
So
it ended up getting to the stiff competition because a guy flipped a girl over and danced with her in this... I can't even describe it well. I'll send you pictures. But
all right, send us pictures. But how did it go wrong?
Everything was fine. Woke up the next morning. Everything was great. Someone comes to me and says, did you read the Tahoe Times today? And I said, no. And there I was in my lovely sticker on the front cover of the Tahoe Times.
Front page of the newspaper. Yeah. That rules.
Why, though? What kind of a newspaper is running those kind of photos? And how can I subscribe?
Hey, look at this naked chick.
It had the sticker on it, and they had shot me from, like, the top up, so you couldn't see the see-through thong.
Well, that's bogus.
And it's a small paper, so I guess they had a slow news day or something.
Yeah.
But what was the reason they gave to put it on the paper? You don't just put a picture of a half-naked chick on,
cares?
On the front page of the paper.
Something about colleges invading their little town or something.
Okay.
All right,
Shannon. Thank you, thanks for the call. Again, another story that sounds completely suspect.
If you're going to ask for these stories,
yeah, what is wrong with you?
I just want the stories to be true. That's
Listen,
all I'm
choose
saying.
To believe them. Make that choice. We believe.
Let's go to Josh. Let's get the guy's perspective down in Huntington Beach. We're talking about photos and video of you naked or having sex that end up in the wrong hands. Josh, it sounds like you've got a story that we want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Good morning, guys.
Hi. Bean won't believe it, but go ahead. We're in. Lisa and I are in.
Yes.
All right. Well, my mom, she lives on the East Coast, and I haven't seen her in about 15 years. So every once in a while, we send pictures back and forth on the email, family, you know. And one day, I accidentally sent her a picture of a willy in hand and in action.
Oh, dear mother. Dude.
Yeah, and she didn't know if I was... you know, showing off or saying, look what, thanks, Mom, and look what I got.
You were trying to send, like, just a random picture that had nothing to do with sex.
Yeah, look at me and the family. We're looking
That's
good
awesome.
Here. Yeah, the family's looking real good.
And what did she write back?
I really don't need to see those. You're looking good.
Oh, Josh, was that the most embarrassing moment of your whole life?
Yeah, except when my other mom caught me in the bathroom on my toes.
Oh, dude. Wow. You're awesome.
Josh is good on every level.
Thank you, Josh. We appreciate that. Oh, we got some really good ones here. Let's try Jennifer in Mission Viejo. Jennifer, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. What's your story?
Oh, hey. I was at college one day with a friend of mine, and we were talking to this football player, and he had the idea of a threesome.
Yes.
And so we were up for it, and so we went ahead and did it, and my bright ass found a camera at the top of his bed, so we started taking pictures. And I didn't think much of it, but about a week later, he called us and told us that he had put the pictures on the internet. And I was kind of alarmed, but, you know, I didn't think much of it. Well, we showed up for class one day in weight training, and we got some applause from probably about half the football team.
Nice. So. Nice. Good work. Hey, I especially like you in photo two.
Now, Jennifer, let's go back to the scene of the crime. When you're having the threesome, which is all good, then you see the camera. What is it you were intending to do with the photos that you took? Did you really just think, hey, I'm the only person who's ever going to see these?
No, I was actually pretty drunk at the time, so I really wasn't. There was not much thought process involved.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer, for the call.
Here's an email from K-Rock listener Frank, by the way, who had a coworker of his that they both used to get to the office early and do it on the desk before everybody else showed up in the office.
Yeah.
And one day he got the bright idea to take a picture on his cell phone, decided to email it to his best friend, also a coworker. He writes, big mistake. Before I knew it, everyone knew about it. We were both fired the next day. Moral of the story, destroy all possible evidence, says Frank.
Or send them to us. Roy in Norwalk. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Roy.
So tell us about your, is it ex-wife now or wife?
No, she kept me.
She kept you. Okay. Tell us what happened.
Well, it was about 3 years ago. I'm in the delivery room. As you can imagine, I'm nervous as hell, and I'm snapping away with my digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
Out comes the baby boy. I'm taking pictures galore. I'm taking pictures with the nurses, with the doctors. So excited. I get home. I sent out this mass email to all the family, all the friends.
To everyone I know. This is my new son.
I just download all the pictures straight into the email, shoot it out. 10 minutes later, I get a phone call, and it's my brother. And he's, dude, nice pictures. And I'm going, aren't they great? And he goes, they're really great, especially the ones with your wife's beaver all over
them. Oh, God.
So you sent those pictures to all of your family and friends?
Everyone got a face full of beaver.
How do I face full of beaver? It's Christmas. Christmas.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did he ever hit her over the head with her fake leg?
No, it doesn't say that he did that. But look, McCartney is such a...
he's a pacifist.
Exactly. He feels guilty eating tofu, yes. You know?
Did he ever hit her with her own leg? Did someone just say that?
I just asked that 5 seconds
I was watching
ago.
The news.
We have to turn that off. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
The actual funnier part of that is that it wasn't even like a car chase or something good. It was the weather they were talking about on the news.
It's the Kevin DeBede Show at K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, 755, Nirvana, Muse, Green Day, and Face Full of Beaver. We've got the world premiere of their new one coming up. First, Ralph is here with the showbiz beat.
We may know why Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe are splitting up.
Now, this just broke yesterday, right?
Yes. But the rumor is that Ryan got very close with his co-star, an Australian actress named Abby Cornish, who they met on the set of his new movie, Stop Loss, which hasn't been released yet, where he plays an Iraqi war vet who doesn't want to return back to action after he comes home.
Right.
And according to sources near and dear to the people who worked on this film, it was pretty much an open secret that the two of them were together during the film. Now, they say, she sent Ryan some sexy emails on his BlackBerry, and Reese intercepted those very same emails.
Yeah.
Which could be a reason for splitting up.
Could be.
To some unenlightened couples.
Sure.
So we may say that's why it has actually happened. However, a publicist, and you know you can trust the publicist.
Oh, they always tell the truth. Oh, wait.
For Abby Cornish is saying, it's not true. They're co-stars and that is it. Remember when Owen Wilson was saying that about Kate Hudson?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Remember when Vince Vaughn was saying that about Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
They weren't a couple either, just co-stars?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Publicists are paid liars, people.
I'm just saying.
You are just saying. That's true.
I'm just saying.
Maybe Ryan Phillippe found out that Reese was actually a dude.
She's not a dude. What's
Why
wrong with you?
Say
Maybe
that?
He found
She's
a penis.
Very attractive young lady. Why would you even say that?
I just think she looks like a dude.
This morning's New York Post says that Donald Trump's former wife, Ivana, had to be carried out
of the Carousel for Hope ball that was raising money for juvenile diabetes last week, being too smashed to leave under her own power.
Oh, really?
No, at a charity event?
Her friends also tell the tabloid they're a little worried about her hard partying and drinking. Ivana's publicist, says, wait for this spin, she took NyQuil before she went to the party, and that's why she got so inebriated. It was the NyQuil. Because, you know, before you go out for a big charity event, the first thing you do is just guzzle a bunch of NyQuil.
That's right.
True. Because nothing keeps you up and gets you feeling better than just downing a medicine that's supposed to make you go to sleep.
Do publicists not think any of us have ever had any experience with drinking or anything like that? Because they keep bringing in these bogus excuses.
I think they just do it with a wink, like, look, you know we're lying. We know we're lying. But she had NyQuil. Wink, wink. So, there you go.
That's funny.
NyQuil.
Look, if she didn't have a drinking problem when she was married to Donald Trump, she's never going to have a drinking problem.
She says, by the way, that she'll never stop using her former name.
I'm sure.
No matter if she gets married again, she will always be Ivana Trump.
Yeah.
I think she should change her name to Ivana Another Drink. That's what she should change her name to. Hey, but I want to tell you, folks, these are the jokes. I don't dance. Madonna's going to raise her newly adopted son, David, as a follower of the Kabbalah, she's announced. In fact, there are new photographs of little 13-month-old Malawian David in New York City. And if you look very closely, you can see around his little Malawian wrist a little red string bracelet.
It ain't natural!
Which is said to protect the wearer from the evil eye.
What is the evil eye?
Are people
exactly?
having a lot of trouble with the evil eye these days? That they need to start wearing evil eye deflector bracelets?
I don't know what that is.
Apparently, it's negative thoughts that anyone might wish ill of you.
So if I walk by anybody and think bad thoughts about them, I'm giving them
and I hope they have
the evil eye.
Bad luck. You're giving them the evil eye with those thoughts.
Are the evil eye and the stink eye the same?
But the stink eye is pretty close.
Kind of the same. Okay.
Yeah. But the bracelet will deflect those evil thoughts, Kevin.
Okay.
The evil eye will be warded off.
So what will happen if Kevin thinks bad thoughts about you and you don't have the bracelet on? They already don't come true just because he thinks
yes,
it. So what
they
do you
do.
Not have the bracelet for?
The evil energy of the evil eye will be absorbed by you and it will affect your overall cosmos.
See, I need to learn something about the Kabbalah. I don't understand how it works at all.
You know what you need to learn about the Kabbalah? It's the 21st century and we're still believing in effing voodoo like we live in caves. Grow the F up, people. God damn it. It's like you're all wearing loincloths and trying to club a saber-toothed tiger. Oh, the evil eye. I have to wear a bracelet to reflect the... Think about it! You're wearing a string to deflect the evil eye. It's goddamn Dark Ages. Holy crap.
People believe in mainstream religious, believe in prayer in the 21st century.
And there's a big guy in a beard in the sky watching over us, pulling all the strings. Come on, people.
Oh, that's Santa Claus.
Wake up. Griffith Park Observatory wants me to make a reservation.
Let's not even get into
Don't
that.
Get me started.
That's a whole different topic.
The world's got a lot of problems.
The
all stems with that. Tomorrow, can I finally talk about the effing Griffith Park Observatory?
Yes, tomorrow.
Demanding I make a reservation to go see their BS building that nobody wants to go see?
Ralph, you don't have to go to the museum if you don't want to, or the observatory if you don't want to. They're just saying, if you do, it's crowded.
But if
crowded.
I do want to go, it's not crowded. That's what I'm saying. I don't have to make a reservation.
Is,
it's not.
Guys, we'll do this tomorrow.
Freaking Griffith, you need to make a reservation.
I'm catching Ralph's anger, though, because I saw that on the side of a bus. And
no,
that's all they
advertise now. Oh, well, you need a reservation to get here. Screw you.
I yelled at the bus. Well,
you're not that busy.
They don't want you to show up and not be able to get in because it's too packed.
You could show up at peak hours in the middle of the weekend, and there would be four people there with you.
During an eclipse.
Yes. If the sun was going out, and the only place you could see it from was the Griffith Park Observatory, you'd be able to swing a dead body and not hit another person.
All right. Tomorrow, Ralph Grant.
Jeez, crackers. I wonder if a lot of people wearing red string bracelets go there and then make reservations at the Griffith Park Observatory. Put a piece of string around my wrist, it'll help me ward off evil. Why not just go full bore and just start chopping off chicken heads and having ceremonies and just go for it? Just get a crystal ball and wear a pointed hat and put Eye of Newt in a cauldron. You whore. Jesus.
so I hate people so, much.
So you like it? You're fine with that?
Yeah,
then?
Well, it's cool.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday. Oh, let me get away these tickets first before I get too angry to do so. I got a 4-pack of tickets to go see the red carpet world premiere of Tenacious D's.
The Pick of Destiny.
In the Pick of Destiny.
Wow, you've lost some enthusiasm.
Well, you guys, you know, you beat it out of
Thursday, November 9th at the Gromit's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. It's going to be a major event. Jack Black, of course, half of Tenacious D will be there, as will the other half, Kyle Gass. Meatloaf plays his dad, I'm sure, will be there. A lot of celebrities going to hang out and see this very, very funny movie. So come on out and see it. Caller number 20 right now, 1-800-520-1067, gets a 4-pack of tickets. Usually I give away a pair, but this will be you and three friends. So it'll be a fun evening.
Do you have to make a reservation or just a ticket enough?
Just, you know, for this thing, you just get your ticket, you show up.
Okay.
You park your car wherever you want to park it, you go right in to a world premiere of a major motion picture. Something people actually want to do, get into to see. Not the freaking Assatorium or whatever they show up there on the ceiling there at Griffith Park.
That laser show that they
have? Whatever effing thing they have. I don't think they even do that anymore, which means even less people want to go there now because they don't have the laserium anymore. Oh, we fixed it all up. Did you miss us? No.
4 years, didn't know you were closed.
Had no idea. Didn't know you were closed until you told me. We're reopening. You're kidding me. Had no idea you were closed.
Still not going.
Not going. But at least I know if I do, I got to make a reservation, take a bus up the hill. Today's celebrity birthdays. Larry Flint, Hustler publisher, 64 years old today. Larry.
Yeah.
You should talk to Larry. Maybe tomorrow. See how he celebrates his birthday.
He did his birthday. That's good.
Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers, 44 years old today. Rick Allen, drummer for Def Leppard, is 43. Toni Collette from The Sixth Sense and many other motion pictures. You know what? Never mind. She's 34 years old today. And Jenny McCarthy, a nice rack.
Yes?
It's the best I can give her. Sorry. She's 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, let's talk about our friend Bob Doe.
It's Bob Toe.
I can't get used to calling him Bob Toe. I know that you have you've settled on that name and you love it. And
well,
you never want to hear him referred to as
Doe. And he loves it.
He's still Doe Toe to me. I saw him at the Halloween party and he's still just Doe.
Let's say good morning to Bob Doe.
Hi,
hello.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Doe, where are you on the name change? Are you going with Bob or should we still be calling you Doe?
Well, Bob will be my stage name, Kevin Bean.
Okay, so when you come on K-Rock, for example, you should use your stage name, right?
Yeah, but in real life, my name is Doe.
Well, which would you prefer we call you?
Well, it doesn't matter, Kevin Bean. It's up to you guys.
Okay.
Kevin Bean, I really want
to... How about if we call you Bo?
Yeah, I really want to get in this industry, Kevin Bean.
You want to get in the industry?
No, I really want to make it, Kevin Bean.
Okay, hold on. So we talk to Bob Toe from time to time, and he tells us that he needs a woman, 5'7", 5'8", Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And we got an email from Ninette, and she said that her friend Christy was willing to go on a date with Bob Doe Toe. And they went out on a date, and we were going to kind of set stuff up. We were going to mic it, I think. We had all kinds of different things we were going to do, but they went out kind of on the sly. They've already gone out now.
Yeah, when I talked to Doe last week, he's like, oh, yeah, we went out. We had a great time. I'm like, how could we not have known you guys were going to go out? You weren't supposed to work that out on your own. But we have not heard the update from the girls' point of view. And I guess they both went. It was a group of people went together, Doe. It wasn't just a one-on-one date, right?
How's the wedding in Seattle being? Because I'm going to end this weekend.
Doe, just answer the question.
What's wrong with you?
How's the weather in Seattle, he wants to know.
It's clear and cold right now.
To be honest with you guys, we did.
You went out in a group. Okay. He's on a delay. Let's talk to the girls and find out from their perspective what it was like.
What the hell is that?
What is this?
Hello?
Hi.
What is that noise?
That's Christy's phone.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, her phone's ringing. Okay.
Sorry.
So Ninette wrote us an email. She said, my friend Christy is willing to go out on a date with Doto. And we wrote back and said, no, but seriously. And you said yes, and you guys ended up going on a date. Where did you guys go?
We went to an Italian restaurant.
An Italian restaurant?
Yeah, up in Pasadena. But it's an old town Pasadena, Kevin.
All right. Ninette, how many of you were there at the table?
Four of us.
Okay. Now, did you guys know what Doto looked like before you met him?
Yeah, we did.
You'd seen his picture on the website, maybe?
Yeah. And he had actually gone there a couple minutes earlier than us, so we saw him standing there, and sure enough, we knew it was him.
Now, when you say four of us, it was you and your friend, and who else? Did Bob bring someone?
No. We brought another guy.
A third person. Okay. All right. Just security.
Okay. Now, Doto had not seen Christy. We had seen the picture that you sent, but Doe had not seen Christy. What was your first impression of her when you saw her, Doe?
She
She's not very bad, Kevin. I mean, she looks like my former girlfriend that when I went out on a date when I was I went out on a couple stewardess like who worked for Asian Airlines, Korean Airlines. I went out.
That's what every girl wants to hear is you look just like a girl I used to date.
Similar, Kevin Bean.
I got to say, I saw the picture. I wanted to date her. I thought she's very, very pretty.
Thank you.
And Christy, what did you think of Doe when you saw him in person?
His eye wasn't that bad.
Well, he got a fix. Yeah.
He got a fix. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Christy, what was the conversation like with Doe over dinner?
So you know when he first called you guys and you were asking about the name change?
Yes.
That's how it was the whole night.
Oh no.
Like nothing made sense?
Because we kept asking him, you know, why are you changing your name? And he said he is not sure, maybe because
and
he thinks...
And then he asked you about Seattle.
Right. It was like that?
Yes.
Doe, how do you think the date went?
Well, I think it wasn't very bad. My impression with her, I don't think it was a negative. It was okay. It was good, Kevin Bean.
So not very bad, and then good, and then
we
okay.
We got all the way to good.
it's cool.
Christy, what did you think of, did you have a good time?
It was interesting.
Yes, as all conversations with Doto are.
A little confusing.
Sure. But you learned to love him like we have.
What?
Come on.
Christy, how about if it had been a one-on-one date? Do you think you would have had a good time if it was just the two of you? Or do you think the other couple was there has kind of saved it?
Awkward silences.
Really? He's a tough guy to have a conversation with, isn't he, Christy?
Yes.
You guys know he's on the phone, right?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Doe knows that. Doe knows that there are some communication difficulties with him.
What do you mean there's communication difficulties, Kevin?
Well, when we ask you a question and then you don't answer it and you just ask something else completely unrelated.
I wasn't awake. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay. Doe, listen, don't ever change, Doe. We love you. No one's complaining here. We're just talking about the reality of the situation is it's different having a conversation with you than it is having a conversation with virtually anyone else on the planet.
In a good way.
Yeah, Kevin, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so how long was the meal, and then is that all you guys did?
It was about an hour and a half, maybe.
Okay.
So. How long did it feel like, Christy?
2 days. Now, only because there were four of us, and we tried to have a conversation with all of us.
Right.
And Doe would jump in with a random question or a fact that really didn't go with the flow.
Doe, does it seem like sometimes your thoughts don't mesh well with everybody else's thoughts? I mean, do you get that feeling sometimes or no?
Maybe on rare cases, Kevin Bean.
On rare occasions.
Yeah. Doe, I have your back on this one, my friend. I am right there with you. I know exactly how you feel.
What do you mean exactly how?
He does, because Bean is that guy. He's the guy who everybody else will be having a conversation, and then he'll say something, and it just puts the brakes on the whole thing, and everybody looks and goes, what?
Well, because we get ahead of ourselves, Doe, don't we? We start thinking about something else, and then we just kind of we fall behind in the conversation that we're supposed to be having. It happens to me all the time. I wouldn't let that worry you.
Yeah.
Your mind works too fast, Bob. That's the point.
That's what the problem is. All right. Here's the question that I'm afraid to ask, but we must. You guys went out on this date, and it was awesome of Ninette to call and offer you up, Christy. You were awesome to go. Is there any possibility, Christy, that there might be a second date for our man Doto?
Can I bring people?
Well, Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
Well, if she doesn't have a problem with it, then why not, Kevin Bean? I'm cool with that.
There you go. If she doesn't have a problem, then you're cool with it.
If she's okay, if she's fine with that, then there's no problem, Kevin.
I think you've done the multiple dating thing. I think you've accomplished that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Right?
So, Kevin, are you suggesting maybe it's time to move up to the one-on-one?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm a little scared.
Kevin Bean?
Yes?
Is Psycho Mike there?
Yes. Why?
Yeah, because since he lives in Pasadena, Kevin Bean.
Yes. That's not a sentence.
How much would he charge me rent?
How much would he charge you? What, you want to move in with him?
I'm just kidding, Kevin Bean.
Okay.
Okay. This is maybe what part of the problem is here. Christy, you're off the hook. You never have to see Doto again. Thanks, Doe.
Doe, you never change. Doe?
Oh, thanks, Kevin. Oh, Kevin. Oh.
You okay? Should we send someone over? Are you all right?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Doe, thank you for going out on the date with Christy and with Ninette, and thank you for coming out and telling us about it, okay?
Thanks.
You really did her a favor. I mean, we were trying to get a date for her, and you did her a big favor. So thank you.
We appreciate it, Doe. Take care, dude.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay, bye-bye.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay.
You know, we get a lot of emails here at the Kevin and Bean Show, and we especially very soon are going to be looking forward to your Miss Double December submissions, because it is that time of year as we start casting the net for the new Miss Double December. And we get a lot of good times in the email. And every once in a while you see something, you go, wow, we should really be using our power for good occasionally instead of just to see boobs.
We don't do that very often.
No. That's why we wanted to have K-Rock Lister Amy on, because she sent us a very, very touching email about a problem that, of course, we were aware of but did nothing about. And that's why we're going to let Amy put the spotlight on it. Amy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Amy.
We're good.
Well, we appreciate very much you joining us. First of all, if you know, because it's kind of gotten off the front pages a little bit, what has been going on with the big Esperanza fire? It's under control now, right?
For the most part, yeah, I believe it is.
Okay.
I think they're still fighting it, and it's still burning, but for the most part, I think they have it contained.
And the last thing I heard, there was over $500,000 reward for information leading to who set that fire, right?
Yeah, according to what I know, the Morongo Casino has donated $100,000, Arnold Schwarzenegger donated $100,000, and what I heard was a private individual actually donated $100,000.
I heard that too. Isn't that unbelievable?
So on top of the $200,000 that was originally set in, $300,000 has been added.
You know, so many of us, we see these fires on the news, and especially this time of year in Southern California with the Santa Ana winds, they're common. I mean, every single October, November, we see these fires, and sometimes it's easy for us to forget that there are actual real-life people who live in these communities, because if we don't know them, we kind of don't think about it. But you've got family members who lost everything in this fire, right?
Right, right. My brother and sister-in-law, actually, lost their whole house, everything, even some livestock that they had.
They got, were they able to get out, you know, pictures or clothes?
No, they actually didn't. What happened was, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, my brother-in-law called 911 saying, hey, there's a fire down there. They told him, don't worry about it, we've got it, it's under control. Then again at about 4, my sister-in-law called, they called again, and she's like, you know, I think we need to get out of here. They said, we've got it under control. We might need to evacuate, and so they just started to get stuff, and as they were getting stuff, fire came up the hill in this huge wall, according to my brother-in-law, and just, they had to leave. I mean, they got enough clothes for, I think, a day. They had to buy their personal stuff, like toothpaste and toothbrush, this weekend. I mean,
And everything else is just burned to the ground?
It's gone. I sent Lightning some pictures, so hopefully you get a chance to look at those, but, I mean...
We do. We actually have them. We put the pictures on the Kevin and Bean front page at krock.com, and also an address and different ways that people can help, because your brother-in-law... Is it your brother or your brother-in-law?
It's my brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, okay.
Is it your sister or is it your sister-in-law?
My brother-in-law and his wife. How's that? My brother-in-law and my sister-in-law. Isn't that how it works?
Well, I don't...
Well, usually one of them are related to you, unless... Is it another brother or sister?
No, it's my husband's brother.
Oh, okay. I see.
Your husband's brother's brother-in-law and his wife.
Okay. Sorry, we're lame.
We couldn't figure it out.
We couldn't figure that out. Okay.
Sorry.
So basically, they lost everything. And
yeah, they lost everything. They didn't have any pictures. I mean, they've been together for 14 years, and everything they had was in that house. And the insurance that they're going to get is basically covering what's left of the mortgage. And I guess the examiners have said that to rebuild it, because as you can see from the pictures, it's a custom home. I mean, when they bought it, it had been built into the mountain.
Right.
It's going to cost like $200 a square foot to rebuild.
This picture, by the way, this picture, and I know that fire, you know, is about as damaging a thing as you can have roar through your home, but this picture looks like somebody took the time to take every single square inch of the house and just squash it, just smash it into the tiniest little pieces. There's nothing, it's not like you look at it and you go, well, you can see like maybe a part of one wall is all that's left.
Those are actually just the pillars that were in the front. The one wall in the back is the retaining wall of the mountain. That's holding the mountain up. I mean,
oh my God.
It's insane. Those were the brick pillars from the front that looked out over the valley, down onto the freeway and the casino. I mean, they have the most beautiful view now. I mean,
right.
That there's no trees there, it's even better. But yeah. They can't build.
But I mean, just think about, for folks who are listening right now, just think about losing almost literally everything you have. You don't have a chair to sit in. You don't have a computer. You don't have a book. You don't have anything. You're right. Starting from scratch again. It's really something that, you know, we're so lucky. Most of us never have to experience what that's like. But how are they holding up? What are they like?
You know, they're okay. Randy, actually, my who is my brother-in-law, my husband's brother, mm-hmm. he actually ended up having to stay on the mountain. They took, you know, he went over to a friend's ranch in Poppet Flats, and he ended up being in a neighborhood that they couldn't leave. Rebecca made it down safely that morning, but Randy with the dog Charlie, who made it out okay as well, they were stuck on the mountain for the whole night.
So how
they were surrounded, three walls of fire on them, and I mean they couldn't leave.
Tell people
luckily,
who.
I'm sorry.
I apologize. We're running a little bit late, but tell people how they can help the family, how they can donate.
Well, we've set up a PayPal account, and I believe Lightning has that information as well. If people want to just donate straight to them, we're going to get that straight to them.
Okay.
If they want to just donate to the families that have been burnt out because there's so many homes that were destroyed, it's redcross.org, www.redcross.org, and they can donate straight to, they need to put Esperanza Burnout Victims. And that money will go straight to all of the families that were burnt out. And then I believe he was checking on the link to the Firefighters Family
yes.
Fund.
Yes, so, it's the Esperanza Firefighters Fund, and that is at cpf.org.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Cpf.org.
Yes.
And
for people that want to help
tragic,
with that.
I heard about the firefighter that ended up losing, the fifth one. He
yeah.
did pass away this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that his mother had actually passed away from a fire a few years ago as well.
Oh, no kidding.
It's
just, wow.
It's horrible.
Hey,
so anything
Amy,
can help with any of them.
Yeah, no kidding. You're right about that, Amy. And thank you for calling our attention to it. How many people are in the same situation as your brother-in-law? How many homes were lost, if you know?
The last tally I heard was about 27. But, I mean, I don't know how true it is because there's, I mean, if you look at the base of Randy's driveway, you wouldn't know that anything was wrong because of the way the fire attacked it once you get up there. So, you know, as the news reports were going, they'd say, oh, there's 10 when really there were 20, and oh, there's 20 when really I think there's a lot more.
Right.
So
okay.
At least I think there's about 30.
All right. There's a lot of need is the point. And you can go to www.cpf.org. Go to the Kevin and Bean page at krock.com, and you'll see the pictures of this house that we're talking about with these family members and also some addresses and phone numbers and all that good stuff. Amy, like I said, when we brought you on, we rarely use our platform for good, but you really you sent us a wake-up call with that email, and we wish the best to your family. Thank you for coming on KROQ this morning.
Thank you so much for your time, guys. Have
you
a great
bet.
Day.
Thank you. Bye now.
Right now, former sports guy Dean is joining us on KROQ.
Check it. Yeah.
Dare you?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is former sports guy Money. I got you guys confused. Mm-hmm. To me, you guys blur together. I can't separate you.
I can understand now, how. I'd like to say I appreciate that you sandwiched that previous story by Doto and me.
Yeah, well,
that's exactly.
That's how you got to do it.
Now, Sports Guy Money, of course, was with the Kevin Bean Show for many, many, many years. Now he works on the Lakers broadcast, the pre, half, and post-game coverage on 570 AM. And last night was the kickoff of the new campaign for the Los Angeles Lakers. And an unbelievable game, Money. Were you there?
I was.
Because Psycho Mike went and did not see any headbands in the crowd, so he thought maybe you didn't make it.
No, I was actually dressed up. Our entire Lakers radio broadcast team took a Star Wars theme. So we were all dressed up. I selected Obi-Wan, so that was my costume for the evening.
Timely.
I got
okay.
You. All right.
Timely as always.
What's going on? I got a bunch of questions, and I want to hear what you think about the new season. But what's going on with, first of all, what's going on with Kobe? What's his progress, his physical progress going to be like?
He thought he'd be back, but he did not play last night. He didn't get on the plane last night to go to Golden State either, so he won't play tonight. He's going to try and play. They play again Friday and Sunday, both games against the Sonics. It's his knee, and he said, you know, unfortunately, he's never really had an experience like this where I guess it's scar tissue, and sometimes it reacts differently when you get it broken down in the off season. But he said that his doctor told him anywhere from 3 to 4 months, and he's at the 3.5 month point. So he's like, it shouldn't be any big surprise, but hopefully he'll be back in the next week or so.
Well, I put some money credits on the game with the King of Mexico yesterday, and the Suns are good. They're a good team,
very good.
And so I was driving to a Halloween party last night, and I turned on the radio, and the Lakers were behind. I think it was 72-4. Way behind, and I was like, oh no. And then after the party, I was like, what?
They fell behind 41-26 at the end of the first quarter. And think about that. The Suns are, who are the highest scoring team in the NBA, were on pace to score 164 points in the Lakers season opener.
And Kobe's not playing.
No Kobe, so we assumed it was going to be. And, you know, the game, there were only two games last night, the Bulls and the Heat. The Heat got their rings and then promptly lost by 42 points. The
excellent. That was awesome.
Ever. Excellent.
That was awesome. Champion. And then I figured it was going to be another blowout for the TNT crew with the Lakers. But to their credit, and they did this a little bit in the preseason, even though they fell behind, they kind of, even though they're a young team, I think they have three players that are over the age of 28. They just kind of kept their heads and chipped away. And they had... Think about this. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I was 19, I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Sure. Of course you were.
That was Andrew Bynum, this kid who was 7'1", 290 pounds.
He's 19 now, right?
He turned 19 on Friday.
Wow.
He is 19 in 4 days. He dominates, man. The kid dominated the game. He had like 18 points on 7 of 11 shooting and 9 rebounds, a blocked shot. I mean, it is crazy that he is progressing this quickly. We normally don't see it from kids this young.
And Lamar Odom, by the way, is another guy who everybody has had high hopes for since he played with the Clippers and showed that he was going to be a great player.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of has never really come into his own, but he scored 34, right?
Well, you know, Kobe wasn't on the floor, so Lamar kind of had to take that role. And Lamar's got the talent. You know, I mean, I've talked to Dr. Buss on multiple occasions, and he has said to him, Lamar is another Magic Johnson. He's 6'11". He can handle the ball. He can shoot. He can do it all. He just hasn't kind of found that comfort level. And
right.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with the story of Lamar, but, I mean, talk about a guy you want to pull for. He lost his mother when he was young. He lost his grandmother who raised him a couple years ago. And in the offseason, he lost his son, his 6-month-old son.
Dude.
And then that same week was held up at gunpoint for his watch while walking through his old neighborhood in New York. So, and he's a wonderful guy. So if you want to pull for someone, that's a guy you kind of makes it through that this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
We are speaking with our former sports guy here at K-Rock, Matt Money Smith, who is with the Lakers pregame show and halftime show and postgame show on AM 570 for the Lakers season. Two quick questions for you, Money.
Yes.
First of all, why did Kobe change his number this year? Why is he now number 24? What's that all about?
He said that he wanted 24 when he came into the league, but someone on the Lakers had it. He didn't feel comfortable as an 18-year-old asking somebody to give up their number. It was the number he wore in high school. And for some reason this year, he just decided that he was going to go back to it. That's the reason he gave me when I asked him. There was speculation that he's 24/7 all the time, something goofy like that. But
he's never been accused of rape while wearing that jersey. So, I mean, there's that. He's got that going for him. And secondly, what's this new Lights Out campaign that they debuted last night?
Lights Out, yeah. See, some teams sign big-name free agents in the offseason, like Ben Wallace or Peja Stojakovic.
Right.
The Lakers, they dim the lights. That's what they do this year.
That's their new thing. Is that in the crowd the lights are lower than they used to be?
Well, I think yes, and it's actually fantastic. It really is, because I think we've actually had this conversation before that in Staples Center it kind of is a stark and sterile atmosphere because it's so bright.
Right.
And what they have done now is similar to, if you remember the games at the Forum, how it was dark, in the stands, but the court was lighted. It's what Madison Square Garden does in New York.
Right, right,
so
right.
So the lights essentially are dimmed over the crowd. You can no longer, search for hot ass in the crowd during the game.
Oh, that's a shame.
Basketball.
Yeah. So basically they sat around a table and they said, Dr. Jerry Buss said, free agents, no, let's just dim the lights a bit.
Yeah.
Dude, they totally have to play with a fluorescent basketball. How cool would that be? Turn all the lights off and just play with a fluorescent glow-in-the-dark ball.
Or a black light. Get those bright.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
I don't think we want a black light anywhere around NBA players.
All right, we're out of time. We're out of time, Money, but
Yes, go ahead. Please.
I am tired. I am sick and tired of this Clippers crap that is going on.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, is what do you think?
It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Get out, Dave. We don't need you, Dave.
Here comes the king.
We don't need you.
The team tanked. They tanked at the end of the regular season so they could face the worst team in the playoffs in the first round and advance one round for the first time in 30 years.
Yeah, I hear you.
30 years! Why are people busting on owner Jerry Buss for hooking up with hot chicks? Isn't that what we're supposed to do when we get old and rich?
Yes, only yes.
We leave our families and we hook up with hot young whores.
All right, Money, let me ask you this question before we go. And that is, last year much was made of the fact that the Clippers had a better record than the Lakers.
Yes.
What's it going to be like at the end of this season?
Well, let's see. Last year they had a better record by 2 games.
Right.
I think it will be, once again, very, very close. And it'll probably come down to the health of the team. Whoever stays the most healthy, the Clippers, you know, have an old Sam Cassell, who, by the way, when celebrating his new contract, addressed the press by saying, remember last year, I told you guys the Clippers were going to go to the playoffs, and you told me I was smoking that Cali Green. Anybody that refers to weed as Cali Green is definitely smoking the weed.
Yeah, no, kiss,
I just
no kidding.
Add that out. So Sam is 37 and has a bad back. Sean Livingston has had injury problems. You know, Kobe's got the knee. Kwame's hurt. I think it comes down to who's healthy. Whoever's healthy will win the most games, and I think it'll be very, very close between the
well,
two.
Well, you're so lucky you don't have to live with the King of Mexico day in and day out like we do here about the freaking Clippers.
Well,
I'll
it's understandable why he would back that team since their owner was sued by the Justice Department for racial discrimination. Unless you're a Korean, you really shouldn't be pulling for the Clippers because that's all that he cares about.
Matt Bunny Smith, thanks a lot for coming on.
Absolutely.
Afternoons on 570 KLAC and then Laker games pre, during, after. Thank you, Money.
Absolutely, guys. Enjoy.
Bye now. Thank you, Lisa.
Check it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:58. I miss Chet Waterhouse. Yeah. He was
a
good sports guy.
He's our best sports guy.
Yeah. Time for the showbiz beat. Here is Ralph.
Before I get to the showbiz news, let me give away my final 4-pack of tickets to go see the red carpet world premiere of the greatest motion picture in the world, starring the greatest band in the world, Tenacious D, in
The Pick of Destiny.
It's the red carpet world premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theater in beautiful downtown Hollywood, November the 9th. If you'd like to go and bring 3 friends, I've got a 4-pack of tickets right now for you. Caller number 7, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Caller number 7 wins that 4-pack of spectacular passes to attend the red carpet world premiere. And I'll be there as well on the red carpet saying hello to David Hasselhoff and all the other high-powered celebrities that will be stopping by.
People love him.
They do.
Can you work that in at one point, would you?
The people love him?
Just for whoever.
You got it. Just my choice?
The person that they would love the least.
Dealer's choice. I could say the people love him.
Yes.
So if, you know, Star Jones or somebody shows up,
the people love him.
People love him.
Right.
Even if it's a woman.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Our city hall, folks. The people love him.
They do.
To this day, I don't know why Bean said that.
Because the people love him.
But he got a, I remember, actually, he got a way bigger round of applause than I would have expected for Arsenio Hall. And I was surprised that the people did, in fact, seem to love him, but not enough to keep his TV show on the air.
No, that's true.
Poor ratings canceled his talk show, but the people still love him.
They
don't want to watch him, but they love him.
Right.
Speaking of somebody the people love, Flavor Flav!
That's what I'm talking about.
See what you did, Kevin?
What did I do?
You dressed up as him for Halloween.
He did.
Now look what you've done. Now look what you've wrought.
I got to tell you, I don't know how he does it. I'm so tired of that damn Viking helmet.
And the clock.
and you've worn it like for 4 hours.
Yeah, I went to like 3 different Halloween parties. That's it. He does that full time.
Flav has just announced he is expecting his 7th child.
Oh, no.
With another woman.
No.
Just confirmed by Flav and his manager to People Magazine. Flav is expecting a 7th child from just about as many moms.
Dude.
It is not delicious, by the way. The contestant he selected on the 2nd season of Flavor of Love, and he says he's still with Delicious.
What a surprise.
But in between the 1st season and the 2nd season, he started seeing a woman he will only refer to as a shorty in Las Vegas.
What?
Who he impregnated with his Flava seed.
A shorty?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's what the brothers call the girls. Shorties.
Right. I didn't know that, actually.
Oh, Lisa, come
Never
on.
Never heard it before.
Get down.
Okay.
Do a little dance.
Get down with
a little love. Get down tonight. Yeah, he's not going to marry the woman, of course. He says, I'm not marrying anybody. I'm too young to die. At 47, I don't think he is too young to die, quite frankly.
No, I don't either.
He calls himself the Black Hugh Hefner, Flava does.
Hugh doesn't scatter children all over the country,
actually. Hugh only has children when he's in a marriage, actually. He doesn't have children. He uses birth control,
Yeah,
which I might suggest to Mr. Flav.
Yeah.
So that's bad news
or
for
the
world,
women.
Right? That there's a new Flav
it
child
is bad
on the
news.
Way?
Let's not forget he's also already a grandfather, too.
Of course.
one of his kids already has kids. That's how long Flav's been at it. His album, which I have not heard that just came out, got an F review in Entertainment Weekly.
An F. Wow. F.
I heard one of the songs on
that for Fantastic?
On the reunion show, and it
for Flav.
It was really bad.
Yeah. Well, there's more good news in the showbiz world. Courtney Love says she's clean and sober now. And, you know, we can always believe her when she says that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's been saying that for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And every time they do a drug test, she pins the red, as they say in the business. The needle just goes, boing.
What is she saying?
Wah, 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 wah. Heroin, heroin, heroin. All the alarms go off.
What is this in reference to? Why is she saying that?
Well, she did a recent interview on Good Morning America.
For what?
Well, she's got a new book out, Kevin. Dirty Blonde, The Diaries of Courtney Love. And she's working on a new album.
Okay.
With a veteran music producer and Four Non-Blondes former lead singer Linda Perry. And so she did a little press for her book and said that she's been clean and sober for 15 months. And guess who got her sober? Guess Mel Gibson.
What?
No kidding.
Mel Gibson.
Was he her sponsor or whatever? I mean, how?
Said, I was doing drugs with some men in a Beverly Hills hotel. There was a knock at the door, and who showed up but Mel Gibson along with addiction counselor Warren Boyd.
They just make random stops at hotels. So.
Mel just starts knocking on doors until he finds somebody doing drugs.
Hey, does anybody here need a drug counselor?
Mel kept coming to the door with this cheesy grin going, hi. I kept looking at him and going, F off. I know him and he's a nice guy, but I didn't matter at that time who it was. It could have been Jesus. I didn't care. But the others doing drugs with her recognized Mel and decided to go and leave and have a cheeseburger with him. Leaving Courtney alone with Warren Boyd, this addiction counselor, and he coached her into rehab.
Okay.
So now she's clean and sober thanks to Mel. Mel's...
He's helping the world.
Appearance, I guess.
He's helping
he's
the world.
Making house calls. Yeah, so there you go.
Apparently Law & Order's doing an episode this Friday.
With Chevy Chase as Mel?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
What are you looking at, sugar? Beep! He actually says that line.
Really?
Yeah, he says it. I mean, then he asks her, are you a Jew? I mean, it's like word for word, Mel Gibson's what he said
that's
when
funny.
He was
I went to a costume contest, a party last night, and a guy was there as him and had the
as
sign.
Gibson?
It said that on the sign. What are you looking at, sugar beep?
Sugar beep?
Yeah. Didn't say beep.
We can't say that word.
No, we can't.
Isn't that a bummer?
No. Yes.
And there may be a reason why Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe have split up. According to sources close to the couple, it may be because Ryan had an affair with an Australian actress named Abby Cornish.
He's a fan.
No, that's not
Abby's
what we're saying
a girl.
At all.
Abby's
Why?
A woman.
No, that's not even close.
They were shooting a movie together called Stop Loss in Texas, and according to sources on the set, it was pretty much an open secret that the two were together. Now, reportedly, Abby sent some racy emails to Ryan on his BlackBerry, and those were intercepted by young Ms. Witherspoon.
And this is what they said.
F me, F me, F me. F me. It's hard to misunderstand that, isn't it?
Abby Cornish's publicist says it's not true. They're just co-stars. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And their genitals were co-starring together at some point in Ryan's trailer. So there you go.
I'm still, I shouldn't be because I don't know them, but I'm still bummed out to see that marriage break up. They got young kids at home. They seem like nice people. I'm sorry to see
that.
We
all are.
They seem cool.
Yeah. And everyone in England hates Heather Mills McCartney, British TV show's host. Excuse me, British TV show host Jonathan Ross was hosting an award ceremony in Britain called the Q Awards this week and was cheered by the entire crowd when he opened up his monologue by saying, Heather Mills McCartney, what an effing liar. I wouldn't be surprised if we found out she actually's got two legs. See, because she would lie about anything.
That'd be funny.
Including her being deficient in the leg department to the tune of one.
Can't wait to find out how much money she's going to get out of that marriage.
I hope she gets a sharp stick in the eye.
I do too.
She gets a sharp stick in the stump. That's what I hope she gets.
If they rule against her, will they take the other leg?
I think they should. All right, you can sue, but if you lose, we get the other one. What do you say now, Heather Mills McCartney? Be hard to find...
I like it.
The landmines with one leg. That's all I'm saying. Or whatever her charity is. Is it landmine? She's
yes,
a landmine
is,
girl?
Yeah.
Right, right.
You know, and it's like she didn't step on a landmine and lose her leg. It wasn't even how I did it. She should be like anti-motorcycles or something, not anti-landmines.
Well, I think she became aware of the difficulties of living with one leg, and that's why she chose landmines.
Or
as
did she, is Ralph's point.
Or she just got it tucked up under her skirt, and she's lying to us all.
Hey, Captain Dan, you know, you see him now. He's got two legs.
Exactly.
We saw him without his legs, right?
It's lies, all lies. Now he's solving crime in New York.
That's right, man.
They all lie.
Can't trust anyone.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jenny McCarthy, actress? No. She's 34 years old today.
No, no, no.
Toni Collette, actress, exclamation point, is 34 as well. Rick Allen, drummer for Def Leppard, 43. Anthony Kiedis, our pal from Red Hot Chili Peppers, turns 44 years old today. And Larry Flint. Larry Flint knows what it's like to go around with no legs working.
Yes, he does. Right.
He's not telling me, oh, just give me money so I can find landmines. He's saying, give me money so I can show you poontang.
That's right.
He's doing the Lord's work. Happy birthday.
Hello, poon.
Happy birthday, Larry. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, Sucker Mike, if Governor Schwarzenegger showed up at your house trick-or-treating with his kids, would you say, no, you're
next
from
house.
Austria. Go back.
Next house, foreigner.
Wow. Mike is very upset by people coming in from other neighborhoods to his house in San Marino last night for Halloween. Here's an email. Did you think about this one from Kristen? My daughter's friends live in the next city over, so we take turns from year to year going from one city to the next. My daughter loves trick-or-treating with her friends. She's an only child, and she doesn't like to have to go out by herself. Did you ever think about that? What about that?
I made exceptions for kids. They're like, no, I rolled with my homeboy. He lives down the street. I'm like, oh, that's cool. You're in a pack. You're in a group.
Oh, so they passed muster with the great psycho mind.
Someone
that's big of you.
Someone grandfathered them in. So I'm like, you're cool. You're cool.
All right, Jackie in South Central. Good morning.
Hey, buenos dias, Kevin, Lisa.
No candy for
buenos
you.
Buenos dias.
You haven't even heard what she has to say, Mike.
I heard the bilingual crap.
Wait a minute. Jackie, you're Hispanic, Mike.
Yep. Yeah.
You're
Mexican.
No, I'm not talking to you, Jackie.
Mike,
I'm talking to Mike.
Too.
Mike is Mexican.
Yep.
Ay, que vergüenza.
He doesn't speak.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Well, what's going on? What do you think is happening here with our friend Mike, Jackie?
I go to Westwood every year, trick-or-treating.
Why?
You go to Westwood? Okay.
Yeah, I go to Westwood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the nicest people there, and they give good candy. That's the reason why we take the kids. I don't know why you discriminate on Hispanics and blacks.
Whoa. Listen here. Toots. I don't discriminate on blacks and Mexicans. I discriminate on everyone that's coming from out of town. There was plenty of toothless white trash kids from the high desert that I didn't give any candy to last night also. So don't
it's just
come
outside
at me with
of
the
your
race
city
part.
Limits. Mm-hmm. That's what you...
Did somebody do something to you on a Halloween?
That's a great question. Did you get touched?
Really? Did you?
No. When you were a kid.
Were you Batman and a guy was robbing and he was grabbing your nuts or something?
Well, that's a good
very
question.
Vivid imagination,
answer the
young
question.
Lady.
Answer the question.
No. As I said at the beginning of the break, I enjoy Halloween very much. I look forward to it. In fact, I love giving candy to the kids.
If you love it so much, then why do you just give the damn candy? I mean, you make enough money to buy enough candy, right?
But A, I make nothing. B, my father has money.
Your dad buys the candy.
Right.
You like giving it to kids and making them happy.
Yes.
Why would it not make you more happy that more kids are showing up because you can make them happy?
Because you got to set the precedent.
Why?
You have to.
Why?
I will say this, though. And Jackie, think about this. What if you were living in a neighborhood where people were shipping in their kids and you had to buy, like, you know, 10 or 15 extra bags of candy?
$300. I'm not exaggerating.
At some point, it does get to be ridiculous.
Well, I just hope they don't do this to your kids, Mike.
I hope he doesn't have kids, first of all.
Yeah, listen here. Yeah. Listen here.
So, Jackie's
I want
that.
You to understand that you have no pride in your own community. You're not doing anything to help develop your own community by maybe possibly
it's
getting some better candy. Listen. By the way, while you're out taking kids to other neighborhoods, there's no one at your house to give out candy to the poor kids
because
that are left back.
Nobody wants to go around their neighborhood.
Because you're negligent. Because you're negligent. You're negligent, and you should
Shut up, Mike.
Give your kids up.
All right, Jackie.
You should send your kids to Malawi. That's how bad you are. Your kids should go to Malawi in an exchange.
All right, Jackie, we love you. We're sorry for Mike.
Right. Thank you, Michael. Hey, let's do one more call. Let's talk to John in Laverne. He's got a completely different spin on this.
She should send her kids to Malawi?
That's how whack she is. Wow. They'd rather her kids be better off covered in flies and disease.
John, what do you think, dude?
You know what? I was proud to live in a house where people would actually come and find my neighborhood, the type of neighborhood that they like to trick or treat in.
Mm-hmm.
Red, white, and huge over there is the type of guy that would build his house on top of the hill and complain because everybody looks at it.
Yeah, that's my point. Is if making kids happy is what you're about, then make more kids happy. What's the downside?
My whole goal is maybe 5-10 years down the road that every community will be making their kids happy. Is that if we, you know what I'm saying?
So you're trying to enrich society.
I am. I am.
You're trying to build people up.
So let me make sure I understand here, Mike. So by turning those little kids away, little Leon, just one smarties. Yeah, little Gigi, by turning them away and making them cry on Halloween, that's what the part you're doing to make America a better place.
Their mom, she'll say, you know, little Gigi, why didn't you get any candy? Well, Mom, because the man said that I wasn't from around here. And maybe the mom will go, maybe we should stop shipping kids to other neighborhoods and do something about our own neighborhood. And maybe make it a more inviting place.
Is it possible?
We should make it more suitable for children to walk around at night.
You know what the problem is Mike is spoiled because he didn't have to work to live there. I had to work to live in a nice neighborhood.
That's very true.
That's what it is.
It's his dad's house and his dad's money.
I live in a crappy little apartment in a bad neighborhood, so don't try to tell me
but
about
this is
what
your dad's house and your dad's money. What
and
do you
I feel
care?
For him. And Lisa brought up a good point. Like 300 bills he had to drop.
Yeah, it does get
there's
crazy.
Only like maybe 1,000 kids in the city. There's no way that, you know, 10,000 kids can show up. To accommodate that, you have to buy so much candy.
He was touched.
He was touched. John, thank you for the call. Unfortunately, we're going to have to close the door on this topic. It was a great one. But by the way,
who was passing out candy at your apartment, Mike?
Jenny and Lola. Lola was a cop. Jenny was a robber.
Oh, God.
Lola's his dog, by the way.
Yeah. Listen, and you have two options. Either I could put the line in the sand, as I have done, and just not give out candy to kids around. Or I could have separate candy for the kids that are from out of town.
Is it possible that you're just a horse's ass?
Well, it's high
you
probability, actually.
That.
High probability.
Yeah.
Before we go to phone calls, can I give you a quick Kevin Federline CD sales update?
Oh, please.
Just got an email from one of our listeners. I want to thank her very much. She works for a major retail record store chain that I will not name, but she says they
That's
have over 900 outlets in Southern California area. Yesterday, Kevin Federline's new CD dropped, Playing with Fire. They sold 73 in their 900 stores. And she says, but she's sure that Amazon.com will pick up the remaining 490,000 that he expects to sell by the end of the week.
He predicted a 500,000 in sales by the first week.
Ralph, I was at a Best Buy store yesterday, as I often am on Tuesdays, and I went specifically to see what the story was with Kevin Federline, and I went to the clerk and I said, hey, how many Kevin Federlines did you get in? How many did you order for the store? And they ordered two. That's how many they ordered?
How many were on the rack?
I don't know. Two. Both of them were still there. This was around, I don't know, like 3 p.m. or something like that. Both copies in this location were still there.
She says 73 have moved throughout.
Maybe everybody's just waiting for the weekend to rush and get it.
Yeah.
Because they won't be able to work if they own it now. They'll want to listen to it all the time.
Right.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. That's fantastic news. And we've got a great Kevin Federline call here we'll go to in a moment, too. But first, everybody gets a prize for being on the air. It's a pair of tickets to see your Los Angeles Kings taking on the Minnesota Wild at Staples Center Saturday night, November 11th. For tickets, go to www.lakings.com. Also, how about Thank You for Smoking, the great Aaron Eckhart film, now out on DVD and in stores now.
It is Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
Say good morning to Dennis in Chatsworth. Hi, Dennis.
What do you do, nephew?
Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Yeah, I was calling because I won a contest of the costume for my work.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And the prize was, believe it or not, the Kevin Federline CD.
Oh,
so we can account for
wait a minute
one of the 74.
The first prize?
That was first prize.
That's funny.
And I don't know if it was a joke or so, but that
no, it wasn't a joke. That was real.
Sorry, unfortunately, I think we were one of the 73 people that actually bought the season.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's tragic.
K-Fed, what do you think about the disrespect you seem to be getting?
Know what I have? Like people. When they hear it, they hear the record. When they see exactly what's put down, they're going to have to give me respect in that manner.
Yeah.
I envision it. I see it. I know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm a likable guy.
Sure,
When is that going
to
happen?
When you see what I put down on the CD, you're going to have to like me. Because you can see that. If you look at a CD really hard, sometimes you can see the music.
You can look at it, yeah.
Sure. What's it going to be like for him at the end of the week? Let's go to Sacco next, by the way, with a great K-Fed sighting. When it's the end of the week and K-Fed, who estimated he would sell 500,000 CDs, when he sells, my guess is about 14,000, What's it going to do? Will he then realize, hey, I'm not all that? Or will he not even...
Are you kidding?
He'll say it's the haters, and they're all play a haters because he drives his Rari and better than
There's
your
no
LS.
Possible way that he will ever have an idea of how big a douchebag he is. So
that's
never
not a wake-up call for you, though, if you do all this publicity and you only sell 14,000 copies?
Nope.
Rating systems are flawed.
They just didn't get it, man.
Socko in Glendale. Hi.
Socko.
Hi. What do you do, Lisa May?
What do you do?
Well, here's the story. Yesterday, I was at West Hollywood with my girlfriend for the whole gay parade.
Yeah.
And your boys from Kiss FM were doing the whole thing with Kevin Federline rapping on stage. And I had never, ever heard a whole city boo at the same time.
Well, the gays are polite. They don't want Kevin Federline, though, right? Even if they're polite, they hate him more than anyone, right?
He was just telling him, make some noise, and all the noise we heard was boom.
Everywhere he goes, he's getting booed.
That's great.
This is a great world we live in.
And he's a fairly attractive guy. If the gay guys are booing him, you know he sucks.
Nice job, yes. West Hollywood. Good work.
What a shock that Ryan Seacrest would once again be spending Halloween in West Hollywood, by the way.
King of Mexico says that K-Fed is going to write an autobiography. That's what he...
What's going to be a pamphlet? What's he got to write about?
I was born a douche, and that's where I remain today.
I married a rich girl, and now I wear wife beaters.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
Yeah.
Patty in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning.
Bernice Pierce calls
good
you simple.
Good morning, everybody. Ralph,
yes.
They ring the bell for you, please?
Oh, sure.
Ring the bell for Ralph?
Yes, I love Ralph.
Thank you, darling.
Get your own bell, sister.
I appreciate it.
Bell does not go that way.
No, ring the bell for me. Ring it.
I'm not. The bell does not go
you
that
ring
way.
You ring for Rue McClanahan.
Sweetie, listen, honey.
Yes, baby.
Your thunder, stolen. Tiger Woods, what the hell?
What? Tiger Woods, what?
Yeah. Laser Eye Center commercial.
Oh, it's because
Tiger's
Tiger
doing my TLC vision commercials.
Yeah, Ralph, I love that commercial. You're my man, but I heard Tiger. What's going on?
Well, here's the thing.
Did she just turn black?
Yeah, is Buck Wild?
Right
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Yes, here's Buck Wild.
Middle of that call.
Tiger also got his eyes done, the LASIK eyes adjustment at TLC Vision Centers, and he's a little more famous than I am, so I think they're using that commercial to try to get people to go there.
So they sat around a conference table and they said, all right, we've got Ralph Garman and we've got Tiger Woods.
But Ralph,
who
I love
should
it.
Be our spokesperson?
Ralph should be the spokesperson.
Yeah. Well, I think a couple
Ralph
of our K Rock listeners.
Joe Schmo, come on.
That's true. I was star of the Joe Schmo Show, seasons
Thank
one
you
and
very
two.
Much.
Now available
season
on
one
DVD.
Available on DVD. But I think some of the K Rock listeners were also getting an assful of me talking about my eyes. I think that's part of the reason they're sort of, splitting duty now. Splitting duty on the TLC with me and Tiger now.
Is that what you kids call it? Splitting
exactly.
duty?
Exactly. We're splitting duty.
All right.
Ralph, when you win the Masters, your commercials will be back in a heavy rotation.
That's right. That's when true. I'm wearing the jacket.
Shane in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
What it do, nephews? Baby boo?
What it do, Shane?
Hey, guys. I'm just here to tell you your curse has hit me all last week, this weekend.
How has our curse hit you?
Man, all right. I won tickets to your singles party on Wednesday.
Right.
That night, my Halloween costume got stolen.
Oh.
And okay. that was
ever
us.
Get another one. That's true.
Yeah. And then Friday, I go to pick up the tickets. On my way back, because I work in Redlands, so I have to drive a long way back, I get rear-ended. So
I think that car did the right thing, too.
Well, yeah.
Kevin and Bean curse.
So then I miss everything. I can't make it home. I can't do any. I can't make it to the singles party.
Oh. That is pretty awful.
Yeah, then I go to your the microbrew festival.
Yes.
Every horse I bet on, completely, they're like dead last, every horse. Then I lose a $100 bill, and then I'm just cursing your guys' name the rest of the weekend.
I think it's pretty clear that you're just a gigantic loser. Right? Who's with me?
I think I have to go with
Shane
you, Kevin.
Is a loser. There's no Kevin and Bean curse in play
it
here.
It seemed like a lot of the other people got to the singles party fine.
Turns out everybody else could make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be unique to your situation.
I think you should hang up and not take the prize, Shane.
I think you might get disconnected and not get the prize, is what I think. I mean, if the curse is real, you know?
All right. We got to do the celebrity sighting. We got to do Anthony in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, Kevin and Dean. What did you do, nephew?
What did you do, nephew?
How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Got a celebrity sighting for you.
Okay.
Saturday afternoon, Paris Hilton coming through Beverly Hills in her Bentley.
Wow.
And she was with what celebrity?
Smelling like a weed bag.
Really? You could smell that from her in her car.
How could you smell her as she drove?
I'm telling you, she rolls in her Bentley. One of my valets comes and grabs me like, hey, come here. Car is just reeking like the chronic. Big fat roach sitting right there on the console where you shift the car.
And right. Did you do the right thing and smoke it?
I couldn't, but one of my boys did.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
And then they're going, empty weed bags all over the car.
And good times.
I got to give her credit, though, man. She smokes the chronic because that stuff smelled so damn good.
That's how she rolls.
So she knows what she's doing.
All right. Thank you, Anthony.
Apparently she comes from the Snoop school of when you're stopped, just have all your paraphernalia just laying all around the car, by the way.
Right. No one ever heard of putting something under a seat.
How about the glove department? It's not too hard to open and close that, is it?
But it's only weed.
Yeah, it's true.
Thank you, Doc. I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including Matt Money Smith for joining us. He, of course, is with the Lakers pre, half, and post-game coverage over there at 570 AM with another game tonight against the Golden State Warriors at 7:30. You can also see it on KCAL Channel 9.
But it's only weed.
Thanks to John Leguizamo for joining us. Very fine actor who's now a first-time author. His book in stores is called Pimps, Hoes, Playa Haters, and All the Rest of My Hollywood Friends, available everywhere.
But it's only weed.
All right,
weed.
We got it, Doc. We got it. It's only weed. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to have Barry Pepper in the studio. He's in Flags of Our Fathers.
Ah, great.
The stars of that movie. We also have Ralph's Rant. He got a little taste of it today. He's unable to hold it back anymore. The dam is about to burst, so... Ralph Sorrent on the Griffith Observatory tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we have Lost Highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have our listener Wild Bill on the show. He'll help us out with that. Mindy Kaling is an actress who is fantastic on The Office. She plays Kelly.
Oh, I love Kelly.
And Kelly will not stop talking no matter what happens. So we have her on tomorrow morning's show. And from the movie Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan, ladies and gentlemen, Borat.
Woo!
Yeah!
That's a pretty big show.
Yep. Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Fantastic. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Snow is the name of the song. You'll be hearing it coming up. Also Incubus, also The Killers, Linkin Park, OK Go, Social D, and more right after this on K-Rock.
But it's only weed.